It's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's gonna be drawn at the Change Bandit Reward Party, Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to SacRadioThon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320LeftChannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carr. A dozen people have died since the latest wintry blast sailed into the Midwest from Canada. That storm system has dumped snow and ice all along the way, and now it's beating up on the Northeast.
It's one of the worst storms I've ever seen in 20 years I've been driving.
That trucker crawling along a New Jersey highway. Hundreds of thousands of people are without electricity in several states. Hundreds of flights have been delayed or canceled at major airports from Chicago to Boston to Washington, and people sit in those planes too long.
After 10 hours on a plane, agitation is set in.
The House is in its second day of debate on the non-binding resolution opposing the president's Iraq policy as the military announces today the deaths of 6 more troops in Iraq.
Mr. President, the American people want a policy that changes directions.
This resolution is more about political posturing than it is anything else.
I'm Mark Knoller, live at the White House. After getting his first update on Iraq from his new commander there, General David Petraeus, President Bush again warned that the consequences of pulling out now would be disastrous.
The Iraqi government could collapse, chaos would spread, there would be a vacuum, into the vacuum would flow more extremists, more radicals, people who have stated intent to hurt our people.
Mr. Bush says members of Congress are free to express their opinion about his plan to increase U.S. forces in Iraq, but he is determined to make sure they don't try to cut off funding for them. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Knoller, CBS News.
State Farm Insurance says it won't write any more insurance in Mississippi, not after being forced to pay for Katrina flood damage not covered by hurricane insurance policies. Mississippi Attorney General Jim Hood.
They created the environment. Had they paid what they owed immediately after Hurricane Katrina, there would have been no litigation.
This just in from Daytona, Florida, and it is big news from NASCAR after, controversially, they have allowed Toyota into the race. Team Toyota's Michael Waltrip has been penalized 100 points for the season race, and his crew chief and the competition director for Daytona are out of the race. Associated Press says Team Toyota is accused of boosting horsepower with an illegal substance, namely jet fuel. Daytona 500 is this Sunday. The court that had ordered Anna Nicole Smith's body kept on ice pending DNA sampling has amended the order releasing her body. Here's the judge, Larry Seidlin.
This body belongs to me now. I'm not releasing the body. From what I read, this body's staying right here.
Whether they've taken strands of hair or other DNA samples is not clear in that paternity fight over Anna Nicole's daughter. On Wall Street, the Dow closed up today about 87 points, a new record, nearly 12,742. The Nasdaq gained 28 points, and oil at $58 a barrel, down $1.06. This is CBS News.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now, you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda Certified Used Cars. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. You may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
Chrysler is scaling back about 13,000 jobs to save money.
We believe that this represents a solid plan to return to profitability and to lay the groundwork for a solid future for the Chrysler Group.
That's Chrysler CEO Tom Lasorda. It's about a 16% cutback. A Tennessee state lawmaker is proposing death certificates for aborted fetuses. Republican Stacey Campfield says there is already precedent for the concept.
Death certificates now are issued for miscarried babies. What this would be doing is opening that door and giving the slightest piece of respect for life that has also been killed through an abortion.
The only difference, he says, between a miscarried fetus and one that's aborted is whether the baby is wanted. One other Tennessee lawmaker called it the most preposterous bill he has seen ever proposed in Nashville. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
So where do you two keep the books for your copy?
When was the last time someone...
Show on Air America Radio.
6 minutes after the hour, my name is Lee Rayburn, filling in for the incomparable Rachel Maddow on the Rachel Maddow Show this evening, and we start with some good news. I know we usually start with the life during wartime, but a little good news to temper the bad this afternoon, or this evening, whatever the case may be, wherever you are. I want to let you know that Rachel Maddow missed her flight to New Orleans. That's right, she is snowed in New York. Nevertheless, she will spend an incredible Valentine's Day with the evening off and will return to you tomorrow. So hang out for that. Bear with me here as we start, as we do every day on the Rachel Maddow Show, with life during wartime. I call it Iraqocracy. It's like democracy, only improved, new. Four U.S. soldiers were killed and two others were wounded during fighting in northeast Baghdad today. Two other U.S. deaths were reported elsewhere across the country. Task Force Lightning soldiers were attacked while conducting combat operations in Diyala province, where U.S. and Iraqi forces have been battling insurgents for months now. Three of the soldiers died from wounds sustained after explosions near their vehicle. A fourth died later at a military medical facility. Happy Valentine's Day. Another U.S. soldier died Wednesday, today, a day after coming under small arms fire from insurgents while on patrol north of Baghdad, according to the military. The soldiers' names have not been released yet, pending notification of relatives. At least 3,132 members of the U.S. military have died since the Iraq War started, almost 4 years now. Yeah, we're coming up on the four-year anniversary. How's it going, life during wartime? It's incredible. CNN broadcast what it said was a video showing a U.S. Iraqi soldier who was kidnapped in Baghdad nearly 5 months ago today. The undated video, posted on a militant website, showed Ahmad El-Tai, a 41-year-old linguist, reading a statement. Tai was kidnapped on October 23rd while visiting relatives after leaving the security of the Green Zone that houses the Iraqi government and many of our troops. Tai is a reservist deployed to Iraq in November 2005, was married February of last year. His wife was in Iraq at the time of the kidnapping. Iraqocracy. It is, it's beautiful. It's blossoming, like a flower, you know, a Valentine's flower. Speaking of the beautiful Iraqocracy, Iraq has new security rules, and it's cracking down. Rachel talked about this yesterday in the capital of Baghdad, as Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki confirmed the crackdown under fears that this would just target the Shiite factions in Iraq. On Tuesday, yesterday, televised address by Lieutenant General Aboud Gambar warned all those who breach the terms of this decree will be judged under the law on terrorism. Read, shot on sight. So they're closing the borders to Iran and Syria between Iraq, for 72 hours, 3 days, ought to stop the flow. In addition, weapons permits will be suspended for everyone in Baghdad except Iraqi and U.S.-led security forces and registered private security firms. Now, I heard in the news at the top of the hour that we are allowing 7,000 Iraqi refugees into the United States. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. There are hundreds and thousands of them, if not millions at this point. Sad story. Syria is the last Arab country welcoming large numbers of Iraqi refugees. But it's shutting down its border now and leaving 40,000 Iraqis who escaped Iraq with no place to go, stuck in Syria and no way home. So now these new rules in Syria strike the fear of deportation into 1 million Iraqis already in Syria. They received only a 15-day permit to stay where they enter. Now they have to apply for a 3-month permit. It can be renewed only once. They have 6 months to get back to the place where they are doomed, their homeland, their Iraqocracy. Jordan and Egypt have 700,000, 130,000 Iraqi refugees, respectively, and they said they can take no more. So we've taken in 7,000 in the United States, Iraqi refugees. That will leave us only with a couple million that we need to take care of. And taking place here in the United States, amidst all the war, the death, the decay, the unjustifiable, ungodly continuance, is this urge to surge. Ah, surge, schmerge. The president talked about it today in his press conference, and he was asked in his press conference, Mr. President, is this a civil war in Iraq? And here's where he shows his compassionate conservative side.
I believe it's a civil war, sir.
I can only tell you what people on the ground whose judgment are. It's hard for me in the, you know, living in the this beautiful White House.
Mm-hmm.
To give you an assessment, first-hand assessment. I haven't been there. You have. I haven't. But I do talk to people who are and people whose judgment I trust, and they would not qualify it as that. There are others who think it is.
What do I know? I'm just in this beautiful White House. How can I figure out what's happening in Iraq? My God, I'm just the President of the United States. Back off, man! Bush went on to say in his press conference today, and we'll talk a little bit later about Iran, without a doubt. But Bush also mentioned today that not only is he the decider when it comes to these issues of life during wartime, but he is also the concluder, and don't you forget it.
Many have told me that they're dissatisfied with the situation in Iraq. I told them I was dissatisfied with the situation in Iraq. And I concluded that to step back from the fight in Baghdad would have disastrous consequences for people in America. That's the conclusion I came to.
I am the concluder. It gets weirder as you move to the debate taking place in the U.S. House over the last couple of days about whether or not we have the urge to surge. And Representative Steny Hoyer got a hold of a dear colleague letter from Republican Representatives John Shattuck and Peter Hoekstra. Interesting letter that these two Republican representatives sent to their fellow conservatives. They write to their fellow conservatives, and this is right from the letter, we're writing to urge you not to debate the Democratic Iraq resolution. Democrats want to force us to focus on defending the surge, making the case that it will work and explaining why the president's new Iraq policy is different from prior efforts and therefore justifiable. We urge you to instead broaden the debate to the threat posed to Americans. You know, the war on terror, and be afraid and don't ever stop being afraid because that's how we keep you malleable. We need to broaden the debate to the threat posed to Americans, the world, and all, quote, unbelievers by radical Islamists. The debate should not be about the surge or its details. The debate should not even be about the Iraq war. Pshaw! Mistakes may have been made, or whether or not we can or cannot win militarily. Let's not talk about that. If we let Democrats force us into debate on the surge and the Iraq's current situation, we lose. Why? Because the war is going, we're losing the war. Because we can't win this war military. You can't enter into a war under false pretenses. You can't enter a war shamefully and hope to exit it with any sense of pride. It's Vietnam. It's imperialism. It's Republicans giving us their reason why they don't want to debate Iraq. We start with Representative Lynn Westmoreland, Republican from Georgia. You may remember him from Colbert Reports, better know a district. He wanted to put the Ten Commandments in government buildings. And when Stephen Colbert asked him what the Ten Commandments were, he could only think of one. Do not lie. I don't remember the stone tablets that Moses brought down from the mount. I don't remember that one on it. Nevertheless, let's listen to the man lie, Representative Lynn Westmoreland.
Some people from the other side seem to believe that if we pull out of Iraq, that the Iraqi people are going to go back to tending sheep and herding goats. That's not what's going to happen. If we pull out of Iraq, what's going to happen is you're going to see more bloodshed than we have seen in a long time in this world.
You see, before we Iraqitized their Iraq, they were tending sheep and goat herders. They didn't know any better. Now we've brought them into the McDonald's era. We just don't need to herd your sheep. You can just get them in an extra value meal. It gets weirder. Just wait. Representative Jack Kingston, another wonderful conservative from Georgia. I don't know if you want to call this a flip-flop. I don't know if you want to call this newspeak. Whatever it is, it's not logical.
You know, it's interesting. The president has been criticized for, quote, staying the course, and he's no longer staying the course. And who is supporting staying the course by a yes vote to this non-binding resolution but the Democrat leadership and the Democrat Party? If you're saying it's a lost cause, but we support you, how are you saying, no, we're not going to send recruits? It doesn't make sense. You just can't have it both ways. This is staying the course. The president no longer wants to stay the course.
Don't you get it? The president's changed his mind. Now you have to change your mind with him. A vote to stop this surge in a non-binding vote, that really is a vote to stay the course. Don't you see? Don't you get it? Although we had four troop surges last year, all about the same size as what the president is proposing now, I like how they switched the debate. All of a sudden, we're not talking about whether we should be in Iraq anymore, but we're talking about, you like how they did that? And they do it every time. And it brings me, it reminds me of a quote from Ron Suskind. Let me see if I can grab this quick for you. It reminds me of a quote from Ron Suskind that has to do, it was in New York Times Magazine, I remember. It has to do with reality itself. And the basic reality is this, that they are creating our reality, and as we try to figure out what that reality is, they go on and change it. This is the Republican strategy, and you can hear it in Representative Jack Kingston newspeak. And we'll wrap it up with the Republican from Missouri, Representative Todd Akin, explains what would have happened if there were blackberries during the time of the Alamo. Does that not make any sense to you? Well, that's his analogy for the war in Iraq.
So to say that we're going to support our troops, but we're not going to send them any reinforcements, is on the face of it contradictory. Could you picture Davy Crockett at the Alamo looking at his BlackBerry getting a message from Congress? Davy Crockett, we support you. The only thing is we're not going to send any troops. I'm sure that would really be impressive to Davy Crockett.
Davy Crockett with a BlackBerry at the Alamo. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? Come on, people. And then you hear the Democrats talk about the war, and they talk about bringing the troops home, and they talk about repositioning our military to fight the war on terror and not the war to save face in Iraq. And last week, when Senator Russ Feingold, the senator from my home state of Wisconsin, was asked on MSNBC's Countdown what we can do to end this war, what we need to do to take action to make sure that no more lives are lost in our name, with our money, and our guns. And this is what Senator Feingold had to say, and I take it to heart.
This requires public pressure. It requires people to let their elected officials know that not only do they want a debate, but they want action. They don't want just non-binding resolutions that say, hey, we don't want to have more troops. We want a resolution, we want legislation that says that here's a time frame during which this war needs to end, let's say 6 months from the enactment of the bill, and that the Congress is going to cut off the funding for the war. If we as Democrats don't start talking like that and respond to what the public really thinks, then we're only going to have ourselves to blame. For the Republican ability to sort of finesse this and massage it. We are playing into their hands by not having a strong enough agenda that fits the will of the American people as expressed in November.
There you have it. Life during wartime. That's where we start today. We'll talk about Iran in the next hour and what the president had to say about that. John Nichols from The Nation magazine joins us next to talk about Scooter Libby and the Dick Cheney, as well as the genius of impeachment. That's all next here on The Rachel Maddow Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in just for today. Rachel's back tomorrow on Air America Radio.
The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
which side you dress, sir.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Hi, it's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's going to be gone at the Change Bandit Reward Party Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to SacRadioThon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
This is the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. My name is Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel just for today. Unfortunately, she missed her flight to New Orleans, and I know she was looking forward to just doing reporting. That's not exactly what I did in New Orleans, but that's another story for another day. My name is Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel today. She returns tomorrow. I'm sure she'll tell you about her exploits at LaGuardia. In the meantime, I want to introduce you to the show. A friend of mine, somebody who's very important to me in terms of my politics, John Nichols. John Nichols writes for The Nation magazine as well as the associated editor for my hometown's newspaper, The Capital Times. He has also written the book, The Genius of Impeachment, as well as Dick, the man who was president. John Nichols joins us. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Lee, and I think it's only fair to tell your viewers that you, too, were doing research in New Orleans.
Well, it was a different kind of research, all done in the courtyard of Pat O'Brien's. It was how much hurricane, how many hurricanes can you drink in an hour?
Yeah, the kind of the quality of the nightlife, baseline studies.
I'm still working on my analysis. I may have to return to. Hey, listen, I wanted to start today with the Scooter Libby trial. Perhaps no progressive journalist knows the vice president and what happens in his office better than you, John Nichols. And we've seen some an amazing expose of exactly how the vice president's office works. And needless to say, I don't think it was an understatement for you to claim long before this trial came out that Vice President Dick Cheney, in fact, indeed, is the man who was running the White House.
Well, I mean, anybody who was unaware of that was either George Bush or a member of his close personal family. Look, the bottom line is that it's been known since 1999, 2000, when Cheney selected himself to be the vice president, that he was going to be in charge of particularly foreign policy and certainly any wars the United States might get into under his command. And what the Libby trial has brought out, I think, rather amazingly, is the intimacy of the details to which he went into. I mean, this guy was actually writing talking points for responding to critics of the administration.
So
now, that's usually something a third-level aide would do.
He wasn't just starting wars. He was lying about them as well.
Well, I mean, the lies are definitely part of the business. There's no doubt of that. But what's fascinating is that he was in the forefront of organizing the cover-up and the defense of the lies. And again, the trial has brought this out. Now, I know there were some people who thought that Dick Cheney was going to testify in this trial. I thought the chances of Dick Cheney actually putting his hand on a Bible and swearing an oath to tell the truth and then facing questioning from a potentially skeptical prosecutor, they're about as good as the chance that aliens would land tomorrow and initiate a thousand-year period of peace and prosperity.
Damn it, tomorrow I had aliens in the office pool, too.
Well, so I know, see? So, you know, it's about your chances.
So he wasn't going to testify ever, and they threw that little plum out there just to get the media to cover it as if they didn't have anything to cover.
No, here was the thing. It was done to create the facade, the fantasy, that Cheney had no fears about this, that he had, that he was willing to talk and, you know, lots of bravado, lots of theater. But the fact is he was never going to do it.
John Nichols, let me ask you quick in a yes or no question. If this is the case, is Dick Cheney guilty of some crimes that he has yet to be charged with?
Absolutely. In fact,
stay right there. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. John Nichols is my guest from The Nation, online at thenation.com. Make sure you subscribe as well. Incredible information. We'll talk about he knows him best, Dick, the man who was president, and the Libby trial next here on The Rachel Maddow Show. My name is Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel just for tonight. She returns tomorrow right here on Air America Radio.
The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
You're listening to AM 13.
Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. $40 a month, all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8, Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Wednesday.
Hi, it's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's going to be drawn at the Change Bandit Reward Party Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to SacRadioThon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
America.
Lee Rayburn filling in for Rachel Maddow on Air America Radio. Rachel returns tomorrow. My guest is John Nichols. He is the Washington correspondent for The Nation magazine. He is the associated editor of the Capital Times. A couple of books you must check out. His newest one, The Genius of Impeachment. And prior to that, Dick, the man who is president. And before the break, John, we were speaking about the Scooter Libby trial and whether or not the vice president has been implicated in any crimes. Number one, what crimes would those be, John Nichols? And number two, will Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald make a move to charge the vice president with these crimes?
From 97.9 and two's from 118.
I just heard a little radio there that I don't think was us. Is that right? Can you hear me? Hello? I'm sorry. I think that the vice president has committed crimes, and the question is whether those are crimes in a legal context or a political context. I'm somewhat dubious about the notion that Patrick Fitzgerald will pursue a criminal case against Dick Cheney, although I think he is continuing to examine issues related to the specific charges and the specific issues that, he began to examine a while back, and that is the attempt to discredit Joe Wilson and to harm his wife by exposing her identity as a CIA agent. But I'm much more interested in the political wrongdoing here and in the fact that there's no question that Vice President Cheney, on the evidence that's come out in the trial and in the depositions associated with it, has used his office to punish a critic of the administration. There's simply no question of that. It's quite well detailed. We now know that Cheney actually wrote notes on Joe Wilson's articles, that he wrote talking points, that he met with Libby, that he was intimately involved. In fact, according to some people, he was the one who told Libby that Wilson's wife was a CIA agent. So we know all this. And I would just remind you that the third article of impeachment against Richard Nixon, voted by the House Judiciary Committee in the summer of 1974, was for the use of his office to punish political enemies and the inappropriate use of his office as such. I think there's simply no question that Vice President Cheney, on the basis of the information that's been exposed so far, has stepped across that line that puts him in the targets for an impeachment effort. The question is whether Democrats in Congress, and frankly responsible Republicans, will have the guts to press that effort. They should. There's no question. This vice president has done things that we don't want vice presidents doing, that they should not do, that it is completely out of sync with and at odds with our Constitution. So that's where we're at. I'm interested in what Fitzgerald does, of course, but I'm much more interested in what members of Congress do. Lee, are you there? Hello?
Listening to The Rachel Maddow Show.
What are you people? On dope?
On Air America Radio.
It's Enid Live, weekday afternoon.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Rest in peace, my friend. My name is Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow on The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. Apologize for the snafu that happened back in our studio here, and nobody's fault on the Air America line. My guest is John Nichols, and I wanted to give him fair time since he has looked more into the life and times of Dick Cheney, who, by the way, graduated from the University of Wisconsin here in Madison, and we're not proud of that, and as well as the possibility of impeachment. And John, before we had the technical snafu, you're talking about the crimes of the vice president. You know what I hear a lot is, you know, we don't want to impeach President Bush because then we'll end up with President Cheney. But that's not the case, as you write in The Genius of Impeachment.
No, of course not. You can impeach either the vice president or the president or any member of the executive branch. That's what the Constitution says. You can also do two at the same time. And it is hard to imagine why or how the Congress would impeach just George Bush and not Dick Cheney. I mean, that would be like impeaching the CEO of Walmart or the greeter at Walmart, but not the CEO. You know, I mean, you got to get them both. That's the reality.
Why do I have a picture of the president asking me if I want a cart?
Well, that's what he'll be doing in a couple of years. But look, the bottom line is that Dick Cheney has committed impeachable offenses. One of the mistakes that people are going to make with the Libby trial is to say, if Libby's convicted, well, you know, should we keep going down this legal path? There's no question that that should happen, and I hope Prosecutor Fitzgerald does. But there comes a point at which the Congress is supposed to act. The Constitution is very clear on this. When you have a member of the executive branch who is clearly in violation of his oath of office, in dereliction of his duties, in conflict with the Constitution, and Dick Cheney meets all those standards, Congress needs to step up and say, no, we don't allow this. We will sanction this. You don't do it because you dislike Dick Cheney, although it will have a very positive effect, I think, on the war debate and other issues. But you do it because the Republic cannot allow a vice president to have these sorts of powers.
I thought that was the mandate we made back in November, was that there would be accountability for the faulty intelligence that led us into Iraq. There would be accountability in the White House for outing a CIA operative in charge of investigating weapons of mass destruction on a global scale. That there would be accountability. And am I not being a good lefty to see that Democrats have yet to say that we're going to go get them? Or am I just not seeing the newsprint about it?
Well, you're not being a good American.
I knew
it's not a lefty issue. This is not a left or right issue. There is an argument, perhaps, that it's politically smarter to stay away from impeachment. I don't agree with it. In fact, I think impeachment is very rarely punished by the voters. I think they tend to like it. But whether it's politically attractive or not, the fact of the matter is, when you have a vice president of the United States using his office to punish Americans, including a former ambassador, for pointing out the lies and the deceits involved in taking the country to war, when that happens, that's the classic material. That's the core elements of an impeachment article. And for Congress to fail to act at this point is very, very dangerous, not merely in the current context, not merely because Dick Cheney still has another 2 years to serve as vice president, a quarter of his tenure ahead of him, but also because you do not want the executive branch to continue in this form. And this is why I say it's not a left or right thing. I think we could say to any of our conservative Republican friends, do you want the powers that Dick Cheney and George Bush have used? Do you want the style in which the executive branch has operated in the last few years to be handed over to Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton? If they say yes, if they say they want a super powerful Hillary Clinton doing whatever she wants, spying on who she wants, extraordinarily renditioning whoever she wants, you know, then they're fine. But if they say, no, I'm a little frightened by that, then they ought to be on board with those of us who treat the Constitution seriously in saying that Dick Cheney has to be sanctioned.
Switching gears a little bit here, John, we were just treated to the beautiful musings of Jeff Buckley before we were speaking, and he unfortunately passed away, drowned in the Mississippi River in Memphis, where you were not too long ago as part of the Media Reform Conference. I've spoken to people who have returned from the conference, and they all say the same thing, you know, that you got them all fired up, that you paved the way, and I missed it. I wasn't there for it, didn't find you on YouTube, so I'm hoping you could you could give me a little bit of what you told the National Media Reform Conference in Memphis last month, and how it applies to what progressives need to do to take back their voice in the media.
Well, I think first off, I tell people you have to be serious about the media. You have to understand that we live in a cultural environment that is every bit as real as the physical environment. And just as we have air that we breathe, so we also have information and culture that we take in via many forms of media. Right now, we worry a lot about global warming in the physical environment. We ought to worry about the media equivalent of global warming in our cultural environment, and that is that we see an increasing consolidation of media ownership into a handful of companies that are more concerned about profit than they are about serving any public interest. We're seeing most of our media replace civic and democratic values with commercial and entertainment values. That's why most Americans know more about Anna Nicole Smith and the astronaut in a diaper than they do about Scooter Libby or trade policy.
You know, there's a new one on the horizon, John, I meant to tell you about. It's the little 8-year-old that's setting the world record for jumping on a pogo stick and jumping rope at the same time. It's the next big thing in diversions.
It's good. It's important. But it's not going to be... Look, I got to tell you, the astronaut in a diaper, that's a win. And I mean, the second I heard that, I knew that no other news was going to matter.
Who doesn't go wall to wall with an astronaut in a diaper? And yet, at the same time, there are our civil liberties eroding without media coverage.
That's the bottom line.
There is a war taking place without any journalist anymore putting their life on the line to cover it, really, inside of Baghdad.
But let's be clear about this. We're at war in Iraq because the media didn't do its job. It was possible before mid-March of 2003 to expose the lies of the Bush administration. Most of the European media did it. That's why most of Europe was opposed to going to war.
Let me ask you,
our media failed us, and we have to be media reformers. We have to be about changing this media if we want to have a country in which we're not led illegally and immorally into unnecessary wars.
How does a decentralization of our media outlets provide the way for, given the example of Iranian intelligence, which we'll talk about the next hour, provide the way for not coddling the government and making sure to ask the tough questions? I guess I don't understand.
You need dozens of different sources of information. You need people who are really competing. You know, the way, there's a lot of people who say they like the free market because if you have a free market, different companies compete with one another. That brings prices down. It maybe brings quality up. Well, the same is true in the media, but we don't have a free market in media today. We have a handful of companies that have both the resources and the airwaves essentially under their control, and they don't do a good job of covering things. And I'll give you a very good example of why we need more voices than we have. You've heard about the Iranian intelligence briefing that occurred in Baghdad that made the front page of the New York Times, the Washington Post, all of our broadcast media.
It's a slam dunk, John.
It's a slam dunk. But here's what you didn't hear in U.S. media. Here's what was missing from U.S. media. What was in the BBC report, and that is that when reporters went into that briefing in Baghdad, they were required to give up their tape recorders and any other equipment that might record or take down a voice.
So they were prohibited from reporting on
No. They were allowed to take notes. But ask yourself this question. Why can you take notes but not tape record? The answer is very clear. A tape recording would put those who gave the briefing clearly on record, and you would be able to go back and say, you said this and it isn't true. Notes allows them to say, oh, that reporter didn't take it down right. And so it's clear they are already setting up. They are already setting up for getting caught in their lies.
I had heard that the Iraqi media had actually left that press conference, didn't about-face and walked out.
It was a joke. And the fact of the matter is, though, it's those little facts. The fact that reporters were not allowed to tape record these briefings because, obviously, nobody wanted to have their voice on record about this, that ought to be sending the alarm bells up. And also, let's be clear about what's completely failed in our media. Why do we not have a single major media outlet in this country that leads the stories on Iran with a sentence like this. The Bush administration, which is currently embroiled in a federal court proceeding involving efforts to punish those who exposed the lies it used to get us into a war in Iraq, is now embarking on a similar campaign to promote a war with Iran. Now, that's an honest statement. That is not, there's no political hyperbole there. There's no extreme overlay. There's no left-wing overlay. That's an honest statement. Why don't articles lead with that?
Oh, the lead story is that Iranian explosives have been found in Iraq. And it's just shocking to me that they're trying to make the correlation that the Iranian government is somehow involved at the very upper echelon of that government, the same way, you know, Timothy McVeigh was involved with the Clinton administration.
Well, we need an incredibly diverse, incredibly multilingual, multi-ideology, passion. Media.
So how do we do it? You know, what can I do?
Look, it's very, very simple. We have members of Congress right now, many members of Congress, who are committed to media reform. They want to make the basic changes that are necessary. The first of these changes is to say you cannot own all the media. You know, right now in radio, one company is allowed to own as many radio stations as it wants.
What company would that be?
That'd be Clear Channel. You can't. Let's put a cap on them. And let's put a cap also on Rupert Murdoch. Let's say you can't own 40% of our media markets in this country. You can only own, let's say something wild. Let's say you can own 10%. That means 1 out of 10 media markets you can be the dominant player in. That would still at least require us to have 10 different companies in play. At this point, our laws right now allow us to dumb down to only 3 major media companies essentially dominating all of our communications in this country, and that's basically where we're headed.
And you know what that
means. We've got to stop it.
Front page coverage of the jump rope pogo stick world record girl tomorrow morning in your in the front of the press. Now, you've spoken about freepress.net in the past. I wanted to let you know what I did for Valentine's Day, John Nichols. I went and sent an email to FCC Chairman Kevin Martin. A lovely little Valentine that you can send at freepress.net. It was a great idea. Is that the right step to take?
Of course it is. We have 2 members of the FCC right now, Michael Copps and Jonathan Adelstein, who are absolute bulldogs for localism, diversity, serious communication, serious competition, news media that does its job, cultural programming that is diverse and respects all of America's wonderful potential. So we've got two members that are for that. We've got three members who are against. And it's as simple as that. It's a 3-2 split. Any pressure we put on the three members who are essentially doing the bidding of corporate America to basically do their jobs, nothing more than that, any pressure we put on them is well spent. And what we know is this. When people communicate with the FCC, it is noticed. Okay. Chairman Martin has agreed to hold hearings on rule changes as regards media ownership that didn't used to be held. There's much more transparency now than there was just a couple years ago. And the last time that they passed a series of rule changes that favored big media, we were able to go into the federal courts and get the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia to throw the rule changes out. And in that court's ruling, one of the things it said was the number of communications from citizens with the FCC revealed that the FCC was not doing a good job of protecting the citizens' airwaves and using them in a responsible way. So your little note today is something that has the potential to be part of monumental legal and political challenges to big media.
You know, it's the only Valentine's I sent today, and it was to FCC Chairman Kevin Martin. Hey, I want to thank you for your time, as always, John Nicholson, for your information. I know I will see you Friday night at a local media reform conference we are holding here in Madison, Wisconsin. You will be the MC. I will be the panelist. It'll be kind of doing a switch of situations, but I look forward to seeing you Friday night, John.
Well, we're going to try and redeem Madison's name from the former Cheney presence.
Damn that dick! Cheney, thank you, John Nichols. I very much appreciate it. Make sure you check him out at The Nation or TheNation.com. You can also make sure you pick up the book, The Genius of Impeachment, an incredible case for the history of impeachment, not just why we should do it here in this administration, but more importantly, why, through the history of the United States, impeachment is just a natural process. Also, his book, Dick the Man Who Is President, that about says it all, especially in context to the Scooter Libby trial. My name is Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow just for this evening. Coming up in the next hour, we'll take a look at the history of Valentine's Day and what the First Lady is doing this evening. I'll give you a hint. Sleeping! Rachel Maddow returns tomorrow. We return after the news here on Air America Radio.
The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. This is The Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
I don't know about you, but I have an eerie sense of deja vu watching the latest moves by the Bush administration to explain away the quagmire in Iraq. By claiming that Iran is stirring things up, the leaks by anonymous senior United States military officials, the grainy photos of supposed serial numbers, all remind me how we were misled into a disastrous war in Iraq. What's scary isn't the fact that Vice President Dick Cheney and his neoconservative cabal want to expand a war that should never have been waged in the first place. Rather, it's that they seem to be getting away with it. Fortunately, some members of Congress, some members of the media, are fighting back. In Congress, some members are sponsoring resolutions that tell the administration it must not attack Iran without clear authorization from Congress. An expanded war in the Middle East would have significantly destructive consequences. The media, the Congress need to be challenged to do their job by citizens who have decided that they will not be fooled again. I'm Katrina Vandenhoevel from The Nation magazine for Air America.
It's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Woo-hoo! Winner's going to be drawn at the Change Bandit Reward Party Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for?
or get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union, or log on to sacradiothon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
M1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
The big winter blow moves east.
It's one of the worst storms I've ever seen in 20 years I've been driving.
A new verbal blast at Iran, but not a pretext for war, we're told. I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. From the Ohio Valley to Maine, it's Valentine's Day on ice. A big storm from the Midwest brought a mixture of snow, sleet, and freezing rain that made driving treacherous and air travel nearly impossible. Again today, hundreds of flights were canceled. At New York's Kennedy Airport, passengers on a flight to Cancun sat on the tarmac, at times without heat or power, for 8 hours and never did get off the ground. Motown was slow town as people tried to dig out. WWJ Radio's Ron Dewey has that story.
The snow shovels have been hard at work around Detroit.
Shoveling by hand, you got the bin you need.
So have the snow throwers. And the people who fix them.
People don't realize to go start their snowblower until there's, you know, 3 feet of snow around them.
ER doctors are busy with slip and fall accidents. People wearing the wrong footwear for the ice and snow, like sneakers.
Or high heel shoes.
Others are riding bicycles in the snow because they say they have no choice.
You gotta be an idiot to do this. I'm not an idiot, but I'm doing what I have to do.
Ron Dewey, CBS News, Detroit.
A dozen deaths are blamed on the storm. Utilities say 300,000 homes and businesses lost power. At Winterfest in Syracuse, an attempt to have students set a new world record for snow angels has been called off. Officials say it's too cold and snowy. Now this.
So you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes with just a few clicks. QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Office Max, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
I was in a car accident the other day. Nothing major, but enough to ruin my day. Well, I'm a Progressive customer, and they have these claim service centers where you just drive in, sign a couple forms, and drive away in a rental until your car's fixed. Couldn't be easier. They even guarantee the repairs for as long as you have your car. And the first thing they asked me was, are you all right? The first thing my buddies asked was, how's the car?
Get more for your money at Progressive.com. Progressive. It's about you, and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in over 50 locations nationally. Prices vary based on how you buy.
President Bush held a news conference this morning and tried to clarify what the administration and military leaders have been saying about Iran's support for violence in Iraq.
There have been conflicting statements about Iran, but President Bush says he has no doubts that it is dispatching bombs and other weapons to Iraq that are harming U.S. troops, and he means to stop it.
My job is to protect our troops. And when we find devices that are in that country that are hurting our troops, we're going to do something about it, pure and simple.
But he denies that it's a pretext for going to war against Iran. In fact, he said he cannot say for sure whether Iranian President Ahmadinejad actually ordered the weapons be sent to Iraq. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
In Baghdad today, Iraqi forces set up checkpoints as nearly 3,000 U.S. troops made a house-to-house sweep of a Shiite area near Sadr City. Six more U.S. military personnel have died in Iraq. We all know the slogan.
Call an agent today, like a good neighbor.
State Farm is there.
Except when it's not. Stung by post-Katrina lawsuits in Mississippi, State Farm Insurance says it will not issue any new commercial or homeowners policies in that state. Company spokesman Jeff McCollum.
We came to this decision reluctantly, but it's just no longer prudent for us to take on any additional risk in a legal and business environment that's becoming more unpredictable down there.
Mississippi Attorney General Jim Hood blames State Farm.
They created the environment. Had they paid what they owed immediately after Hurricane Katrina, there would have been no litigation.
State Farm recently agreed to settle hundreds of lawsuits from policyholders whose claims were refused on the grounds that their Katrina damage was caused by flooding, not wind. At Chrysler, they're calling it the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. The company's restructuring announced today will eliminate 13,000 jobs, 16% of the workforce. And there's more, as WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert reports.
The job cuts are just one part of the plan. Daimler Chrysler CEO Dieter Zetsche says he'll also look at joint ventures with other companies. And for the first time, he is not ruling out a sale of the Chrysler Group.
I said that our thinking does not exclude any options.
And this means all options are on the table.
The job cuts, which the Auto Workers Union calls devastating news, will be phased in over the next 3 years. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Auburn Hills, Michigan.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Buying a...
Come into...
Minutes after the hour at the house that Rachel Maddow built. My name is Lee Rayburn. We'll start off with some great news, good news. I guess it's sort of bad news for Rachel. She's cut her vacation short. She was not able to get out to New Orleans. I know she was going to do some reporting from down there. Unfortunately, because of the snow, her flight was canceled, and she will return to you tomorrow. My name is Lee Rayburn, filling in for the day. And we start where Rachel always starts, and that is life during wartime. Feels great, doesn't it? I mean, liberating. That sort of oppressive feel no matter where you go, every breath you breathe, as if in somehow, in some way, in this great democracy of ours, I'm responsible for this damned war of ours. I call it Arocracy. It's like democracy, only new and improved. And Arocracy today brings us, hey, good news! I think there is a new slogan coming out for our armed service. Hey, convicted of Grand Theft Auto? Join the Army. Hey, like to rape, loot, and pillage? In fact, if you've been convicted of it, you can join the Army. Now, I say this as I couldn't be a stronger supporter of our military veterans and those that serve. We need a warrior class to make room for the likes of me, the pacifists. I understand I couldn't exist without a warrior class, and I just hope that we put them in the right places at the right time, and I'm afraid that we haven't in the war in Iraq. I know we haven't in the war in Iraq. And my father was a Vietnam veteran. I actually had him on last time I filled in for Rachel. He's my hero, and it's why I stand up for our veterans. But then you read a story like this, and you begin to wonder, how low will our military go in order to meet its recruiting goals? The Army and Marine Corps are letting in more recruits with criminal records, including some with felony convictions. Not just, and this is one of those Rachel Maddow's burying the lead story. They're not just letting in more recruits with criminal records. The military has allowed more than 100,000 people with troubled past to join its ranks just over the past 3 years. That is six figures of people who may not be ready to handle, you know, death, destruction, war, decay, that sort of things. The number of Army and Marine recruits needing waivers for felonies and serious misdemeanors, including the drug offenses, has grown since 2003. In fact, it's more than doubled the number of waivers for felonies and misdemeanors than back in just 2003 when this god-awful war began. Waivers admit recruits who have criminal records, medical problems, low aptitude scores. Hey, if you're not all that bright, join the military. That seems to be where the recruiting goals are now, and it's sort of a heartbreaker. The report comes out of the Michael D. Palm Center, a military strategy think tank. Aaron Belkin, the director, he had this to say. This was the problem.
The data show a significant increase in the number of people coming in with all kinds of questionable backgrounds, not just felony convictions, but other convictions as well.
More than half of the Marines recruited last year needed a waiver in order to join. So really, is it so bad that criminals are joining the military? Yes, and here's why. Because the military, the powers that be, aren't going to help them out with any of the troubles they may have had in their past. Just get out there and go fight the good war, son. That's, again, Aaron Belkin.
What is a problem, though, according to the research, is that the military tries to sweep the program under the rug and doesn't design programming to help felons and ex-convicts integrate into military life and military society.
Hell, they don't even give them adequate medical care once they get home. So why should we actually deal with any emotional problems or prior... if you like to commit crimes, join the Army. Doesn't that seem to be suggesting what they're saying? I hold our armed services in a much higher esteem than recruiters at this point, is the way I see it. Not just recruiters, but the damn Bush administration, who Rachel mentioned yesterday is planning to cut funding for veterans' health care as soon as he leaves office. this is how he's going to balance the budget by 2012, otherwise known as the end of the Mayan calendar. This according to the Associated Press. Does this strike anybody else as a little bit strange? We're going to balance the budget as soon as I leave the White House, and we're going to do it by cutting veterans' health care as soon as I leave the White House. It's like a Guinness commercial. Brilliant! White House budget documents assume cutbacks in 2009 and 2010 for veterans' health care. Outstanding! Thanks for serving for our country. Now treat yourself. Here's gauze. Go fix your gunshot wound. VA's medical care budget has risen every year for 20 years and has risen 83% in the 6 years President Bush has been in office. Unfortunately, we're going to start cuts just as soon as Bush doesn't have to take any credit for it. It gets worse. Soldiers are now getting a bill for fighting in Iraq. That's right. Thank you for serving your country. Here's what you owe. This from WPXI in Pittsburgh. Soldiers who have been paralyzed, who have suffered from brain damage, lost limbs, owe the government enlisted bonus money. Bob Truska, he was in the Navy, got an honorable discharge. 1 year later, he got a bill with his honorable discharge for $3,000, part of his $7,000 enlistment bonus. Even though he got the honorable discharge, he still owed half of his enlistment bonus. According to the Defense Finance and Accounting Services, Bob Truska is not alone. Each month from October of 2005 through October of 2006, at least 600 members of the military and as many as 1,100 have owed debts to the military, totaling between $2.5 and $4 million. So now we're charging our military for fighting, even when they get honorable discharge. Unbelievable. And we've heard a lot of, and we're going to talk about this next, Iran. The president mentioned it today, and we're all very excited that he's mentioning Iran because we're looking for a new war. We're a little bored with the old one, you know. We're losing audience share. It's the same thing every day. It's like a rerun. It's no fun. Let's get a new war. How about Iran, everybody? Sounds fun. And we're talking about the Iranians arming the Shia insurgency. How come nobody's talked about this? And this, give the hat tip to BuzzFlash.com. Thank you, guys, from Chicago. A story from December of 2006. It seems that while one side of this civil war is being armed by Iran, the other side we don't want to talk so much about. This from USA Today. Hooray, USA Today. Private Saudi citizens are now giving millions of dollars to Sunni insurgents in Iraq, and much of the money is being used to buy weapons to fight the insurgency. Unbelievable. The U.S. Iraq Study Group, while reporting they'd found no connection between Iran and the violence in Iraq, did find a connection between Saudis and Sunni Arab insurgents. Why aren't we talking about Saudi Arabia arming the Sunnis the way we talk about Iran arming the Shia in this civil war in Iraq? Truck drivers interviewed by the AP described carrying boxes of cash from Saudi Arabia into Iraq, headed straight for the insurgents. In one case, an Iraqi official said $25 million in Saudi money went to a top Iraqi Sunni cleric and was used to buy weapons, including, and here's a tip-off, a Russian shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missile. Let me see, have we come across any anti-aircraft missile fire in the last couple weeks in Iraq? Yeah. The missiles were purchased from a Romanian on the black market, and now, evidently, they may be being used not by the Shia insurgency in the civil war, but by the Sunnis funded by the Saudis. They may be using it against our troops. Several truck drivers interviewed by the Associated Press said Saudis have been using events like the Hajj pilgrimage to Mecca as cover for illicit money transfers. The money, they said, is carried into Iraq on buses with returning pilgrims. But let's just focus on Iran. Let's not pay attention to the other side of the insurgencies being financed just as well as the Sunnis from Iran or the Shia from Iran. So if that's the case, why aren't we talking about Saudi Arabia funding one half of this civil war that we're caught in the middle of? And we're talking about Iran. And now we're trumping it up. We're hearing the song and sounds of Muqtada al-Sadr's in Iran. We need to go to Iran to get him. The one voice I truly trust in Iraq right now is Michael Ware from CNN. And he was asked whether or not Muqtada al-Sadr, as far as he knows, is in Iran, as the White House now claims.
We spoke to Muqtada's people just a few days ago, and they said he's here. At 3 a.m., we woke up a member of his party sitting in Parliament, one of his spokesmen. He said he's here.
So where is Muqtada al-Sadr? Najaf. That's the way it seems. But we need to continue to beat the drum for another war. The old one's grown stale. It's not as interesting as it used to be. Everything's a rerun over there. Every day it's the same thing. New war. Iran, what do you say? What if I were to tell you that we had a chance to end the war with Iran back in 2003, back when we thought we were the cock of the walk and could own the entire Middle East? We had a chance to make peace with Iran, and we turned the other way. I'll tell you about it next, along with some of the other comments that we're hearing from the Bush press conference today. What he had to say about Iran, I would call it equivocating, to say the least. You know, we don't know whether or not the Iranian government's supporting him, but we know Iran is, and what the heck? You know, as long as Iran's supporting it, we'll take it all the way and start a new war, and more interesting war. That's next. What did Bush have to say about Iran today? What did the press ask the president today in his press conference? And what did his spokeshole, Tony Snow, have to say about the Iranian intelligence, the link between Iraq and Iran? You know, like the link between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. Yeah, kind of make you wonder, huh? My name is Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow, who returns tomorrow on The Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America Radio.
Do you have a question for Rachel Maddow? Call us at 212-871-8173 or email us from maddowonline.com. Air America Radio.
It's the Morning Retort with...
Nothing pumps me up more than when fans tell me I love the game.
Number 23, Kevin Martin.
This is Kevin Martin from the Sacramento Kings. Metro PCS loves the Kings, and I'm a fan of Metro PCS. For just $45 a month, I can talk and text all I want, and there's no contract. If you live, work, and play in Northern California, get permission to speak freely with Metro PCS. Tell them Kevin sent you.
Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance coverage in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over 250,000 people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
And filling in for Rachel Maddow on the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio at 22 minutes after the hour. That theme song can mean only one thing. It's time for a new war, a better war, a new and improved war. And this would be on the run to Iran. Well, the president held a press conference today, and I slept through it, so I had to take the clips. Because, there's just something about that man that doesn't interest me anymore. I'm so ready for him to go out the door. And impeachment couldn't come soon enough, to use John Nichols' genius of impeachment idea. So we're on the run to Iran, and you can call it guilt by innuendo with the Bush press conference today. Taking a step back from the secret, super secret press conference held over the weekend in Iraq, making the connection between Iran and the violence in Iraq. Failing to make the connection between Saudi Arabia and the violence in Iraq, but that's another story that nobody's paying attention to, except for USA Today, oddly enough. So today, the president got in front of the press and explained how the Iranian Quds Force, which is part of the big Iranian National Guard, I guess, what is this Iranian Quds Force? I'm just hearing about it for the first time today, Mr. President, and what are you going to do about it? I hope you're going to do something.
The Quds Force is a part of the Iranian government.
Oh.
Whether Ahmadinejad ordered the Quds Force to do this, I don't think we know. But we do know that they're there, and I intend to do something about it.
Good, something. That's great. I remember Timothy McVeigh was a member of the U.S. military. Does that mean you had something to do with the Oklahoma City? Never mind. We'll just look past that, because it's the Republican logic. We so do adore here. It makes all the sense in the world when you're on acid. The president went on to say that we don't know who's exactly doing this. You know, the violence in Iraq, the maiming of our troops. But
we know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
We know they're provided by the Quds Force.
Okay.
We know the Quds Force is a part of the Iranian government.
Check.
I don't think we know who picked up the phone and said to the Quds Force, go do this. But we know it's a vital part of the Iranian government. What matters is that we're responding.
We don't know who told them. The important part here is we're going to respond. It doesn't matter if we're responding to anything. The important part is we need a new war, everybody. Well, thank God for David Gregory from MSNBC, who said what we're all thinking already.
Critics say that you are using the same quality of intelligence about Iran that you used to make the case for war in Iraq, specifically about WMD, that turned out to be wrong, and that you are doing that to make a case for war against Iran. Is that the case?
I can say with certainty that the Quds Force,
think about it,
a part of the Iranian government, mm-hmm. has provided these sophisticated IEDs that have harmed our troops. And I'd like to repeat, I do not know whether or not the Quds Force was ordered from the top echelons of government, but my point is, what's worse, them ordering it and it happening, or them not ordering it is happening? And so we will continue to protect our troops.
Was that a question, Mr. President? Because I think what would be worse is if you started a new, godforsaken, unjustifiable war. But hey, that's just me. That's just my opinion. No, wait a minute. It's not just my opinion. It's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Peter Pace, and CENTCOM Commander William Fallon, who have not heard the good news connecting Iran and Iraq. So somebody asked Tony Snow the other day, the spokeshole, well, if Peter Pace doesn't think so, William Fallon doesn't think so, why in the hell does the White House think so?
It seems to be a reasonable expectation that the American people can have to get some kind of explanation for how you can have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and the administration on two separate pages.
We're not on separate pages.
No.
The explanation, I'm just, why not? Because everybody's trying to get into semantic.
The administration is confident the report on Iran is accurate and the weaponry is coming with the knowledge of the Iranian government.
But, they, and I still,
but now you're saying the forces, which is part of the Iranian government, you're sort of parsing.
Well, I was parsing yesterday. I'm trying to be careful about how we do this.
Yesterday I was parsing people. Today I'm BSing. Yesterday was parsing. Today is BSing. Tomorrow will just be bald-faced lies. So don't worry about it. Do you get the sense that the White House is trying to play very delicately with each word they use? Do you get the sense that this has all the sniffings and smellings of a trumped-up intelligence assessment on Iran? And do you get the parallel that this is exactly what entered us into Iraq in the first place? John Nichols in the first hour joined us and talked about how we need to make this stop. And the sad truth is we haven't done anything to stop this war yet and stop a new one from popping out. We're on the run to Iran, and we're using guilt by innuendo to do it. Unfortunately, it was in 2003, according to former Bush National Security Council official Flint Leverett, speaking today in front of the Senate, who said that they were given a peace plan with Iran, and it was turned down. In fact, the Secretary, National Security Council and Secretary Rice told Congress last week that she had, in fact, never seen the document. That was a lie. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow. We will continue right here on Air America Radio.
The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
registered to become a change man and qualify, so we're in a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's going to be gone at the Change Bandit Reward Party, Friday, February 23rd, at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to SacRadioThon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
We're a college. Hey, it's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's going to be gone at the Change Bandit Reward Party, Friday, February 23rd, at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to SacRadioThon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
Lee Rayburn filling in for Rachel Maddow on the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio at 34 minutes after the hour. Thank you for joining me this evening. Rachel joins you again tomorrow, as it was unfortunate she was not able to connect to her flight to get down to New Orleans. And I look forward to hearing about her experience at the airport tomorrow night. In the meantime, happy Valentine's Day. Hey, grab your significant other, or in my case, my cat, and, have a little love tonight. That's what it's all about, a little bit of love. And, in fact, thought I'd make mention of 13,000 Valentine's cards that were sent out this morning by Dr. Z. Anybody remember Dr. Z? This is good news for big business. bad news for humans. Dr. Z, a very creative and clever car commercial from Chrysler about how great there was the Ask Dr. Z campaign. Hey, Dr. Z, how come the Hemi is so great? And Dr. Z would go on to explain why the Hemi was so great. Well, today Dr. Z took the stand and explained why 13,000 Chrysler workers were given pink Valentine's Day cards that notified them they had lost their jobs as part of a restructuring announced Wednesday. I love restructuring. It just makes it sound better for the 13,000 people who are out of a livelihood. Daimler Chrysler is going to cut 16% of the U.S. division's workforce. Oh, and a happy Valentine's Day it is. The plan calls for closing the company's Newark, Delaware assembly plant, reducing shifts at plants in Michigan and St. Louis, and a parts distribution center near Cleveland is also going to be closed. Daimler Chrysler chairman Dieter Zetsch made the announcement today. He's otherwise known as Dr. Z, and he gave a beautiful soliloquy using corporate speak about how great it is that they were restructuring. Never mind the 13,000 people that were out of a livelihood and had to fend for themselves. They're restructuring, and that makes it all the more sanitized. Good news for big business, bad news for human beings. And so I thought I came up with my own Dr. Z commercial for Daimler Chrysler today. I thought I'd play it for you. And it's interesting, when Dr. Z is talking to the kids about how safe the minivans are and talking about how great the Hemi is to your manly men, today he used a different tone altogether. And I thought, man, would this make a great Chrysler commercial?
Yeah. Excuse me, Dr. Z, a quick question. What have been the benefits of the merger between Daimler-Benz and Chrysler?
We have seen that the Chrysler Group team worked out a comprehensive recovery and transformation plan using all resources within Daimler Chrysler.
Cool.
Awesome. Dr. Z, I know Daimler Chrysler invented the minivan, but how's the quality? Overall, Daimler Chrysler should achieve a significant increase in profitability in the period of 2007 through 2009.
Selling cars, this ad
is. What would you expect? We invented the automobile. Auf Wiedersehen.
Is that mustache real?
No, actually, it's John Bolton's. I just borrowed it for this press conference. Yes, as Dr. Z's entered a new realm of campaign, like, why is it you're going to cut 13,000 American jobs? Oh, yeah, because those jobs are a lot cheaper elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And that was the Valentine's Day gift that 13,000 automotive workers in the United States received today. Much better, at least they got a Valentine's Day gift, which is a lot more than I can say. I did get a Valentine's Day gift today. I got it from my mom. It's the new Christopher Moore book. I can't wait to get home and read it. That's so lame. But still, it's not as lame as the First Lady, who was speaking to cooking guru Rachel Ray in an interview released Monday. And they talk about Valentine's Day and how wonderfully romantic it is in the White House. You know, to dim the lights, start a little fire, have some sparkling, not wine, you get the grape juice, sparkling grape juice, and neck for a while. Evidently not the case in this White House. When it comes to Valentine's Day, Laura Bush said, George W., not very good at remembering the date. Yeah, because, it's always fluctuating. What is it, the third Wednesday of February? No, it's February 14th, Mr. Well, he doesn't pay attention to things like that. The First Lady went on to say, there's a White House florist, so they always send up flowers, and he'll sign the card. Wow, just gets you hot thinking about it. There is no special Valentine's Day plan at the White House this year. In fact, it may simply boil down to this. Sleep. It seems that the President and the First Lady have something in common. And isn't it adorable? They both love to sleep. In the words of the President when he was addressing the woman who said to him in a town hall gathering that she had three jobs and he called it uniquely American, isn't it uniquely wealthy to be able to get a lot of sleep? That's Rachel Ray asking the First Lady, what's your beauty tip? Well, I get a lot of sleep, said Laura Bush. I think a lot of sleep is healthy. Sure, when you can afford it, what else do you have to do? That's the Valentine's in the White House tonight. Should make you feel a little better about your own, no matter how yours is. A little history on Valentine's Day for you. It's a fake holiday. evidently, the first, this is a Hallmark holiday, and I only say this because you know, I'm with my cat in a new book tonight. In America, the custom of Valentine's Day started with handmade cards in the 18th century, about 1847, out of Worcester, Mass. That's when the whole card-giving thing started. The St. Valentine's Day was first decreed. It was a feast in 496 A.D. by Pope Gelasius. Now, here's the problem with Valentine's Day. They've taken Jesus out of Valentine. First, they take God out of the Christmas holiday season, whatever you call it. Now they're taking God out of Valentine's Day. Used to be a holy holiday. Pope Gelasius the First said so. February 14th was St. Valentine's feast until 1969, when the Catholic Church decided to take God out of Valentine's Day. Oh, and it hasn't been the same since. there is speculation that this may have to do with trying to usurp pagan feasts, which the argument can be made that that's what Christmas was a product of. The pagan feast of Lupercalia, sounds like a lip disease, a raucous celebration where a young Roman man chose his mate for the holiday by drawing her name from a box. Sounds a little bit like a key party. Well, the Catholic Church adopted that and then dropped it in 1969 and paved the way for Valentine's Day, which... According to one, the Saint Valentine refused to deny Christ before the Emperor Claudius in the year 280 A.D. But before his head was cut off, this Valentine restored sight and hearing to the daughter of his jailer. And according to the legend, Saint Valentine sent the girl a note signed "From your Valentine" in his own blood. Romantic. Now, there was a rumor going around the net that in Manchester, England, they were going to be giving away Viagra for free over the counter. And, of course, Rush Limbaugh made a one-way ticket to Manchester, England. Home of the Smiths, the Stone Roses, and a lot of Brit pop culture that I'd like to get back to. Unfortunately, that is not true. There will important news update, breaking news. At least this would count as breaking news on the Fox News Network. They are not giving away Viagra over the counter in Manchester. However, they are giving away condoms in New York City. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. And to you, Laura, if you're lonely tonight, give me a call. I'll be curled up with a nice good book and a cat and thinking of you. Because I know you're probably getting flowers from your florist and that heat by the fire, probably a little cold this evening, wondering where your president is. And you can always give me a call, Laura. Anyway, interesting today as well that today is one of the coldest days of the year. We're in this bitter cold, and wouldn't you know that people are using this as not just anybody, but idiots are using this as an excuse to prove that global warming is not real. And I mentioned this in the first hour. Ron Suskind in the New York Times Magazine a couple years ago talked about the faith-based presidency. In 2002, he was talking to a senior advisor to Bush, and this aide said that guys like me, Ron Suskind wrote this, guys like me were in what we call the reality-based community, which this White House senior advisor to the president defined as people who believe that solutions emerge from judicious study of discernible reality. Hogwash, said the senior advisor to President Bush. That's not the way the world really works anymore. We're an empire now, and when we act, we create our own reality. And while you're studying that reality, judiciously as you will, we'll act again, creating other new realities, which you can study too. And that's how things will sort out. We're history's actors, get it? And you, all of you, will be left just to study what we do. And we have seen that through the last 6 years now, whether it's about the war in Iraq, the impending war in Iran, weapons of mass destruction, Saudi Arabia and 9/11, saving Social Security to kill it, the Healthy Forest Initiative to cut down our forests, the Clear Skies Initiative to pollute our skies. They have created a reality that is so Orwellian, it's downright creepy. And part of that reality that they have creating is the whole idea that global warming's a debate. It's debatable. There's, you know, science both ways. Sure, one end of the science spectrum is paid $10,000 by the American Enterprise Institute to reach their conclusions, but hey, you still got both sides of the debate, right? Well, not so much. And this is what I mean. A very... DrudgeReport.com. Maybe you've heard of them. Poor self-hating man. On the cover, big, bold headlines, DrudgeReport.com. Hearing on global warming canceled because of ice storm. Also included on the DrudgeReport.com today, Maryville University in St. Louis area canceling screening of Al Gore's Inconvenient Truth because of a snowstorm. Get it? I even heard a man call, the guy's name was Dr. Tim Ball. He's from the National Resources Stewardship Project in Canada. Heard him on the radio talking about global warming is a myth, you see, because how can there be global warming when the planet's only been around for about 10,000 years? Ah, yes. These are truly our reality creators, and we're just left to figure it out. As in, what the hell are you talking about, Dr. Ball? According to him, there can be no global warming because, you see, there was no planet back when we were studying the temperature. The basis of their argument at this point is that there is no global climate change because it's cold outside, number one. And number two, the dinosaurs were only put there to fool you by God. And the planet's only been around for 10,000 years, so you can't really judge what the temperature is. Oh, my God. You want to talk about creating reality? Here's a reality check for you. This comes from the chairman of ExxonMobil. You know, the guy with the green thumb. The guy that ExxonMobil, known for its global climate solutions. The chairman of ExxonMobil, Rex Tillerson, told a World Energy Conference yesterday that, quote, there is no question that the world's climate is getting warmer, end quote, and said that technological advances and a global strategy must be used to combat the rise in carbon emissions. This isn't the Green Party. This isn't the Sierra Club. And this isn't, and God bless them all, our environmental groups. This is the chairman of ExxonMobil, you know, the company that's making more profits than Christ, going out and saying there's no question that the world's climate is getting warmer. No question, according to ExxonMobil. And the technological advances and a global strategy are needed to combat the rise in carbon emissions. Take that for reality. This was at the annual Cambridge Research Associates Conference, and you can check it out for yourself. So while they're saying that today it's so cold that they had to cancel hearings on global warming, and isn't that ridiculous, keep in perspective what the president called global warming in his State of the Union address. Global climate change. Because when we have melting polar caps, we won't get warming on the eastern seaboard of the United States or Western Europe. When the Gulf Stream shuts down, which keeps the eastern seaboard of the United States and Western Europe warm, when that shuts down due to fresh water from melting polar caps, you will have Siberian-like conditions on the eastern seaboard and in Western Europe. Sound familiar? Yeah, kind of seems like what we're going through right now. The president was right and I was wrong. I've been calling it global warming. The president referred to it as global climate change, and he's right. Unfortunately, what are we going to do about it? It's about action. And ExxonMobil's ready to take the next step. Are you? I am. What about the White House? We're still debating it. It's still up in the air whether or not global warming exists. We're past the debate as to whether or not there is global warming, whether or not we created it. We're at the point now about what do we do about it. And don't let anybody try to change the debate in any other direction. We're not in a debate right now about whether or not we should do a troop surge for Iraq. We're in the debate as to whether or not we should be there at all. Let that be the debate. We're at the point right now where we're talking about huge tax cuts for the rich and letting the poor see huge cuts in social services, cuts for veterans programs. Let the debate be about those in need. Let's set the debate here. There's no debate about global climate change. The debate is about what we do about it. That's where we start. That's the premise. Ah, so happy Valentine's Day, everybody, especially to you, First Lady Laura Bush. You seem so lonely. It is 48 minutes after the hour. We'll wrap it up next with a little good news about freedom on the retreat. Next here on The Rachel Maddow Show, I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in just for tonight here on Air America Radio.
What is it?
This is The Rachel Maddow Show.
Run away! Run away!
On Air America Radio.
It's Enid Live.
Tonight, lows 40. Here in Sacramento, it's going to be gorgeous. It did do a little snowing up there, and I think the roads aren't so bad, but I'd take them with you if I were you. Tomorrow, about 64 degrees. Montana here, beat the traffic with News 10 at AM 1320 KCTC.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking. As in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over 250,000 people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Reverse. We'll start with a group of Senate Democrats. The good news, who introduced legislation yesterday restoring habeas corpus rights to all detainees in U.S. custody. This is to combat the bill that was passed last year by the Republican-controlled Congress that eliminated habeas corpus, which would seem tough since it is part of our constitutional right. The definition of enemy combatant, according to this new Democratic bill, will also be redefined so that the president doesn't get to decide whether you or I qualify as enemy combatants. Now we get to the bad news. Have you ever heard of the Voice over Internet Protocol, the VOIP? Vonage is one of them. Well, in effect in May, those who provide the voice transmission and broadband services like Vonage will have to ensure their equipment is wiretap ready for the FBI. That's right. According to the FBI, legislation passed in 1994 before Voice over Internet Protocol even existed, which is a phone over your Internet. They're using that law to say that they should be able to wiretap anybody's Internet phone call. The rules are set to go into effect in May, so no longer will the terrorists be able to use Vonage, I guess, to plot their schemes. The rules were challenged by a U.S. appeals panel back in July. U.S. District Judge called the FCC's argument to make sure they can wiretap Vonage and other voice over Internet protocol companies, called it, quote, gobbledygook. reiterate the judge's claim. Also, a bill introduced by Representative Lamar Smith, Republican from Texas, is beginning to raise some eyebrows. It would require Internet service providers to record all users' surfing activity, instant messaging conversations, and email traffic eternally. Forever without end. It's called the Safety Act, and that should make you feel better about it. It'll impose fines and prison terms for Internet service providers which fail to keep full records of everything you look at, every communication you make over the Internet. The argument is that it'll stop child predators. It'll stop child pornographers. It'll stop terrorists. It'll stop everybody. The original Safety Act was introduced last year by Senator John Kyle, that real civil libertarian Republican from Arizona. It was shot down because, according to the Center for Democracy and Technology, the bill would undermine First Amendment free speech protections, and it would do nothing to protect children on the Internet. And nothing has changed in this so-called Safety Act. If you are so interested and inclined to continue to fight for things like freedom, which I understand is not on the march anymore, you may want to call and ask about the Communications Assistance for Law Enforcement Law, or CALEA, which will be used to tap your voice over Internet protocol. If you are so interested in your fight for freedom, you may be interested in taking to task the new Safety Act, which would Internet service protocol, Internet service providers to record everything you do on the Internet forever. Forever! And finally, we wrap up today with good news and freedom. And let me see, where is this coming from? Susan Urich from the Pew Charitable Trust explains what we can see in our free society soon. Oh, let me cue that up again.
If you look out over the next 5 years, the projections across the states, we basically show that there could be up to an additional $27 billion in costs for prisons because of the growth in the prisoner population.
A growth of nearly a quarter of a million prisoners in the next 5 years. What are we going to do about it? Well, let's put more people behind bars, especially the peaceful ones. You know, the pot smokers, smut pokers, the stoners, the idiots. Me. We are facing a $1 billion a year prison problem brought on by people who are committing no crimes other than, you know, crimes against their own health. 28% surge seen in our incarceration rate in the next 5 years. How does that make you feel? Free comes to mind. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Rachel Maddow, who returns tomorrow here on Air America Radio. I want to thank you very much for having me this evening. It's the best 2 hours of my day, and I'm glad I got to spend it with you. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. And Rachel returns tomorrow here on Air America Radio.
Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
It's me, the Change Bandit, and I'm here to tell you your friends at the Sacramento Credit Union have done it again. Not only can you become a Change Bandit, but everybody who registers to become a Change Bandit qualifies to win a 3-day, 2-night family getaway this summer at North Star in Tahoe. Wee-hoo! Winner's gonna be drawn at the Change Bandit Reward Party, Friday, February 23rd at the Country Club Plaza Mall. So what are you waiting for? Get yourself to the nearest Sacramento Credit Union or log on to SacRadioThon.com. And always remember, give me all your change.
To AM 1320 KCTC.
Sacramento.
Sacramento's left channel. Because you deserve the truth.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
In the east, every step was crunchy today. There's a glaze of ice and snow from a crippling winter storm. Air travel was hard hit, as CBS News correspondent Kelly Wallace reports.
Almost 1,500 flights were canceled from the Midwest to the Northeast, leaving frustrated passengers and frazzled ticket agents. In Washington, this woman has been grounded since Tuesday.
They canceled the 9:30, the 11:45, the 4:15, and the 7:30.
At Kennedy Airport in New York, passengers sat in a JetBlue plane for 8 hours, waiting futilely to take off for Cancun. Hundreds of thousands of people lost power in the storm, and at least 12 deaths are blamed on the weather. As the House spent a second day debating the Iraq war resolution, President Bush appealed for patience today.
The operation to secure Baghdad is going to take time, and there will be violence.
Today, some 3,000 U.S. troops made a sweep of a Shiite neighborhood that had been off limits, while Iraqi forces set up checkpoints around the capital. At his news conference, the president said he's asked U.S. commanders to do something about Iran's supply of weapons to Iraqi insurgents. State Farm, recently forced to settle hundreds of Katrina damage claims in Mississippi, says it will stop writing new homeowner and commercial insurance policies in that state.
Some of the things that have happened lately makes us kind of feel that perhaps everything is just too unpredictable there.
Company spokesman Jeff McCollum. State Attorney General Jim Hood feels betrayed.
They had indicated that they were going to stay in Mississippi, and that was part of our settlement. It was not in writing, but it doesn't surprise me that they backed up on their agreement and are now trying to pull out.
State Farm made a similar decision in Florida. At the Scooter Libby trial, the defense rested today. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen says lawyers for the former White House aide have their work cut out for them in closing argument.
It's been a really bad week for the defense. First, Libby's attorneys decided to cut short their evidence by leaving Libby and Vice President Dick Cheney off the witness stand, and then the trial judge ruled that since Libby wasn't testifying, the defense could not show jurors certain classified information about Libby's work during the period in question.
New study says there is a more effective flu vaccine that doesn't involve needles.
A new type of nasal spray vaccine provides better flu protection and reduces flu-related infections, a New England Journal of Medicine study says.
There were 55% fewer cases of flu compared with children who got the standard flu shot.
Dr. Robert Belshi of St. Louis University says there are exceptions, though. Shots are safer for infants under 12 months of age and older children who've had episodes of wheezing. This refrigerated nasal vaccine isn't approved for kids under 5. Its maker, MedImmune, funded this study to try to show the FDA it should be. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
New record close for the Dow, 12,741. This is CBS News.
How are the tires on your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Is it time for new ones? Or maybe just a rotation?
I can help. I got two strong arms. I can help.
No matter what your tire needs are, the smart choice is your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, purchase 4 select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or a new iPod Nano. And that's not all. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price. Genuine Ford parts, Ford trained technicians, low prices. We've got everything your vehicle needs to be at its best.
You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better, we're proving it, and we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
There's a feud between neighbors on Capitol Hill. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has the story.
There aren't many smoke-filled rooms left in the Capitol, but apparently still one too many for freshman Democrat Keith Ellison from Minnesota. As first reported in the Hill newspaper, he called the Capitol Police and sent them after the Republican in the neighboring office, Tom Tancredo of Colorado, who is smoking a cigar and stinking up the place. But smoking is still allowed in congressmen's private offices, and Tancredo says he'll keep lighting up his stogies. Both men have been in the news lately. Ellison is the first Muslim member of Congress. Tancredo's running for president.
Fidel Castro, who gave up cigars years ago, is still closely associated with his country's most famous export. Still ailing after surgery last summer, he's not expected to appear at the annual Habanos Festival, which draws cigar aficionados to Cuba from all around the world. But organizers say Castro has autographed 5 fancy humidors. They'll be auctioned off for charity at the closing cigar banquet. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
So you're a consultant?
Yes.
Paul Blanco, Chevrolet.
guests tonight are John Mellencamp and Dennis Kucinich.
Hello and welcome to the program. Well, we've got an eclectic show for you today. Coming up in the second half of the show is Congressman Dennis Kucinich. He is a candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination. This is his second run. And he's going to be here to talk not only about his campaign, but about his plan for a Department of Peace and Nonviolence, a cabinet-level Department of Peace. We've talked about this before on the show, but he's just reintroduced the bill, and he's going to be here to tell us about it. But I'm really honored that joining us now is another son of the heartland, a native of Indiana, and someone who I'm honored to welcome to the program, John Mellencamp. Welcome to Politically Direct.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. Listen, I was looking back at some of what you've done. This is your 21st, Freedom's Road is your 21st CD, and I was going back and looking at sort of your road to get to this record, and it's actually a really interesting through line. You've been writing songs now about America for a long time, and it's come out in different ways. But as I look back on it, for example, a song you wrote a few years back, Peaceful World, you talked about racism living in the United States today, being alive, and they wouldn't let you put that out. They didn't like those lyrics. Were you ahead of the curve? I mean, some of the things that you've been talking about, people seem to be catching up to you now with this CD.
Well, I don't know. I don't have such thoughts. I've said it earlier once today, I don't really check my credibility out very much or what people think. I'm in the moment, I'm trying to look ahead, and everything I've done in the past, well, that, you know, it's, and I'm the same with my paintings, you know, I get done with a painting, I turn it face to the wall, and I'm on to the next. I don't really,
No rear view mirror then.
No, I try not to. I mean, you know, I have to sometimes, when you go on tour, you know, there's songs that you have to go, okay, we have to play that song, and people will expect me to play this song, and, you know, there's a song on the new record called Ghost Towns Along the Highway. And,
right,
and,
great song.
And I've been reading that it's like, you know, a brother to Rain on the Scarecrow. It never dawned on me.
Other people's viewpoints, and then you sort of wake up and say, oh, maybe that's how they're seeing it. But the reason I was asking this, John, is that part of what has happened is this country has gotten very politicized. And I remember when you and I met, we met back at Farm Aid. And by the way, I got to say, Farm Aid now, I just checked the numbers before I came into the studio. You guys have raised over $30 million since 1985. You and Neil Young and Willie Nelson founded Farm Aid and have been helping American farmers. And it's not just rhetoric. You guys have actually given grants to help people stay on their land. That's an amazing success story.
Yeah, and we're getting ready to, I think, have our first Farm Aid in New York City. So,
is that right?
Yeah, I think that's where the next one's going to be.
Right in Central Park where people will claim the land.
I don't know if it's going to be in Central Park. I'm not sure we've settled on a location yet, but I think that we've settled on the area, and I think it's going to be New York City.
But I bring that up, and I start to say that the country's been very politicized. When you and I talked at a Farm Aid about 10 years ago, I remember you being a little skeptical about being involved in politics, per se. You were involved in issues you cared about deeply, but politicians you didn't trust a lot. And since then, you've actually done some political work. You went out for John Kerry and John Edwards with a lot of other artists on that national tour toward the election.
Yeah.
What changed in you to come to that place about political action?
Oh, I've not changed my view at all. I just thought that in that particular climate, one was better than the other, and that we needed to move more towards the other.
None was better than the other.
Yes. And don't get me wrong, John Edwards is a friend of mine. I like John. But basically, politicians, you know, they all, when you pull the pants down, they have the same panties on, you know, and they're all similar in a lot of different ways.
There's an image I want to see, actually.
Yeah, but that's the way I look at it. And some are, you know, some are more left, and, you know, I lean that way myself. So, of course, I feel more akin to those people. But at the end of the day, they're politicians. And, you know, there's an agenda. They all have an agenda. And a lot of times we don't know the agenda. And, you know, on Freedom's Road, there's a line that says, nobody wants to know you if there's no pork in your barrel. And I think that's true.
There's another line I saw on Freedom's Road I was struck by. Well, this is a remarkable CD. You know, you have a song that you do, Joan Baez sings on it, Jim Crow.
Right.
Incredible.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. $40 a month, all the local and long distance calls you can make anytime, and no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8, Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S., taxes and fees not included.
Going on in the country. My guest is John Mellencamp. His new CD is Freedom's Road. This is Politically Direct on Air America Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Well, extreme side, ideals I think are right. And extreme side, the idea to stand and fight. I do believe there's a dream for everyone. This is our country. There's room enough here for science.
It's the Morning Retort with...
Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking. As in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
Air America Radio presents Politically Direct with David Bender.
Back to Politically Direct. My guest today is John Mellencamp. His new CD is Freedom's Road. And John, I want to bring it back to the CD. You talk about this as a lot of songs of hope. I mean, there at least I've seen it referred to. And you described yourself as like Sisyphus. You keep pushing that boulder up the mountain, and sometimes it rolls back, but you keep in there. What keeps you going?
Well, I don't know. I think that's just, I did an interview yesterday, and the guy goes, what makes you like you are? I didn't really know how to take that question. And I just kind of said, well, that's the kind of hairpin I am. You know, I am used to fighting, and I see no top. You know, I'm always looking up, but I never see a top. I never see getting to the top of anything. I never saw the victory of getting to the top of anything. The victory is in the fight and in the idea of survival. And I think that's on, not just for me. I just think that's the way life is. Life is in motion, man. I mean, it's always in motion. And sometimes it swings this side and sometimes it swings that side. And, you know, I'm the first person to admit, and I think we all do in our darkest moments, realize that we don't really know anything. We don't know anything, and we know that we don't know anything. But the saddest moments are is when we know we don't know anything and we don't care. See, that's where the problem, right there is. And when we come to that realization, we go, oh, well, when we don't even care that we don't know anything.
Yeah, and just change the channel. Thanks very much.
That's right.
And, see,
that's really the fight, is the fight for not becoming complacent and not caring and not having an open mind, an open ear to change, to acceptance, to tolerance, to race, to whatever is in front of us that we have to deal with.
John, before I let you go, I got to ask you, on Freedom's Road, there is a hidden track. It's like, it's not Paul McCartney is dead. There's a hidden track called Rodeo Clown.
Right.
Why is it hidden? And can you give people some sense of what it's about?
Well, I tried to make Freedom's Road not a, you know, it's a protest record. I mean, it's a folk record. It's a protest record with echoey guitars. But I tried to make it a record of hope, a record of tolerance, a record of understanding, a record of forgiveness. And Rodeo Clown just didn't really fit into that category. When people write protest songs, it's easy to spit back. Blah, 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 blah. Impeach the president. Blah, blah, blah. You know, that's easy work.
Listen, I went out with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young and watched them singing Let's Impeach the President for Lion every night and having people sing along with it. And I got to tell you, it's quite an experience to watch that happen.
Sure, I would imagine. But it's, you know, it's easy to spit back. I didn't want to spit back. I wanted to say, well, wait a minute, sports fans. We were all here. Hindsight's pretty good. We can all look at Bush, and you know, everybody knows there's not a, I do not support one iota of what that guy has done. But we all sat here and watched him do it, and a lot of us cheered it on. So Freedom's Road is really about, hey, if you want a better world, you know, we can blame him if you want. But you better take a look in the mirror, and perhaps if you want a better world, it starts with you and me, and not George Bush. If we didn't allow this administration to behave the way that they did, it wouldn't have happened. But we all sat by. We all sat by while the journalists didn't really ask the tough questions. We all sat by when they said, you know, okay, well, these, you know, we need a different agenda here real quick. No gay marriage. You know, and we all sat by and went, oh, okay, well, we all knew it was a smokescreen, but we all went along with it. That's what Freedom's Road's about. It's asking the listener to go, hey, you know, maybe I played a bigger part in this than I care to admit. You know, I mean, I have friends in Indiana who were clearly for this war 4 years ago.
Have they come around?
Yeah, and they act like I forgot that they were for the war. You know, and it's like, hey, man. You know,
sounds like members of Congress, actually.
Well, and that's exactly right. So I just think that's the way people are. What do we expect? What do we expect? So with Freedom's Road, it's just kind of like asking people to take a look at yourself. Are you happy with the path that you have followed? Is this the America that you see rolling out in front of you that you have hopes that your kids are going to grow up in? And just asking those questions and being, you know, hey, be a little tolerant. Try to show some forgiveness. And maybe we can get on with the kind of, you know, place that we really want to live in.
But it's not a preaching record, and I got to say, hats off to you, man. It's a terrific piece of music, and that's, at the end of the day, that's what people will look for and respond to. And I'll tell you, if they get Freedom's Road, they're going to have a terrific ride. And thank you for making it. Thank you for all you do. And thanks for being on Politically Direct.
Hey, well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Look what Jim Crow's done gone.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
Smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
I'm the change bandit. Now give me all your change.
How silly. Not like that.
Not like that.
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they've got to do is go into the Sacramento Credit Union to find out how they can become a change bandit? Or they can log on to SacRadiothon.com? Well, why didn't you say so?
Just be silly.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking. As in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over 250,000 people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Direct. Here's David Fender on Air America Radio.
Sometimes I feel that I'm misunderstood.
And welcome back. I'm delighted today that joining me by telephone from Washington, D.C. is Congressman Dennis Kucinich. Congressman Kucinich is a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the presidency, his second time as a candidate for the nomination. He is also representing Ohio's 10th congressional district, and this is his first time in this 110th Congress in the majority. Congressman Kucinich, welcome to Politically Direct, and welcome to the majority.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be on your show.
Must feel good. And the reason I raise it, we've had a number of your colleagues on since November. It must be an extraordinary feeling to be in a position to actually see bills that you're introducing, get a fair hearing, and actually have a chance to make it to the floor for a vote.
Sure. There's a higher question here, and that is that since Democrats are in the majority, what do we do about it with respect to Iraq, Iran, health care in America, job opportunities, education? I mean, to me, I'm very results-oriented. It is nice to be in the majority. The American people placed a lot of confidence in the Democratic Party in the November election, but we have to repay that confidence with a very direct and serious policy initiatives that are responsive to the desire of the electorate to get out of Iraq, to provide for health care for all, to create more jobs. So it's a great responsibility.
Well, Congressman, all this week, you and your colleagues are, in fact, debating a non-binding resolution that would express the congressional disapproval of the president's escalation of the war. You've been a harsh critic of that. Explain why you think that's an inadequate response for this Congress.
Well, the war is binding. The resolution is not. This resolution isn't going to end the war. It's not going to bring our troops home. It's not even.
That says it all, doesn't it? The war is binding, and people are dying while this is being debated.
Well put.
So that said, and from your original response, the Democrats have the majority, but they now have a responsibility. Your frustration is also with the Democratic leadership and not going farther on in opposing the war?
This isn't a matter of frustration. This is a matter of what do we understand as our constitutional responsibility to be the co-equal branch of government that the founders envisioned, to provide a check to the execution of this administration's conduct of war. People want Congress to do that, and this resolution is simply not about that.
What you have put forward a 12-point plan to bring about an end to this war. If you would, can you detail some of that for us here?
My 12-point plan to end the war recognizes that the United States occupation is the one thing that discourages international participation in a peacekeeping force. So I'm saying the fundamental points are these. The United States will end the occupation. The Pentagon can use already existing funds to bring the troops home. We must order a simultaneous return of all U.S. contractors. The U.N. needs to be involved in preparing an international security and peacekeeping force. We have to fund this peacekeeping mission. The peacekeepers move in and our troops move out. The peacekeepers remain in place until the Iraqi government is capable of handling its own security. The Iraqi government should restart the failed reconstruction program in Iraq, and there shouldn't be any privatization of Iraqi oil or other national assets. The Iraq government should be able to stabilize Iraq's costs for food and energy and should strive for economic sovereignty. The United States should have a reparations program for the loss of Iraqi lives, damage to property, and we should refrain from any covert operations in Iraq. Now, this is the basis of the plan that will enable us to bring our troops home, close the bases, stabilize Iraq, reach out to the international community, and bring about a beginning to the end of this sad chapter in international relations.
Well, you've talked about a number of things, and this really, you've itemized many of the key points. And the 12th point is establish a policy of truth and reconciliation between the people of the United States and the people of Iraq.
Right.
And plainly, truth here is at the core of this entire issue. We have not heard the truth from this White House, from this administration. How is it going to be possible for the Iraqis, or frankly, even many of our allies, to believe us as we move forward? How do we reestablish credibility on this?
Well, it begins with Congress stepping up to its constitutional responsibility to put under oath those officials who brought us to war. There were lies told that brought us to war. People violated international law to take us into a war. There are great consequences for this nation. The human cost, the loss of lives of our troops, the loss of civilian lives, the cost of the war, and the hundreds of billions of dollars. There has to be accountability, and so it has to start with really Congress assuming its role to make the administration accountable for what they said that took us into war. And then simultaneous with that, there has to be a new direction. Only a new direction will mitigate the violations of law that the administration really is responsible for.
Congressman, accountability is a word you've just used. Let's say that those hearings occur, people are put under oath. We find out evidence, hard evidence, that these violations of law, which we all see and clearly recognize, are now proven under oath. Is the consequence, when that accountability occurs, is the consequence articles of impeachment?
Yeah, I don't think you can ever say that can't happen. I think, you know, certainly.
So you don't buy Nancy Pelosi's?
I don't go along with the idea that somehow this can't happen, it should be taken off the table. That is a power that Congress always has to reserve in order to protect the Constitution and to protect the nation. And so wherever an investigation would lead is where it leads. I also think there's another question here, and that is violations of international law. I don't think that the United States can be credible in the world if our top officials can violate international law with impunity. So there's a point at which Congress is going to have to assume its role as a co-equal branch of government and to insist that those who are charged with the responsibility of executing the laws of this country do so not only faithfully, but do so in adherence to principles of state, local, federal, and international law.
In your own role, will you be involved in any hearings that are pursuing some of these issues in terms of accountability?
I'm chairman of the Domestic Policy Oversight Subcommittee. You know, there are some areas where that we can get into. I mean, it's more likely this would be a province of a full committee hearing in either government oversight, armed services, international relations. There are a number of different venues, but certainly I'm on a committee of jurisdiction. And that is the Government Oversight Committee.
And obviously one of the areas that Henry Waxman has been involved in already is pursuing these contractors and the money. And you call for, in your 12 points, you call for pulling out all of our American contractors on this war.
When you look at how contractors have played the system, how the Iraqi people have been cheated, how there's been no accountability, how contractors seem to be able to literally get away with murder, they're not able to be prosecuted under international law. Or under Iraqi law. They run up the costs of goods to the Iraqi people or to the American taxpayers. The amount of fraud and cheating that's been going on has been spectacular. Billions of dollars can't be accounted for. These contractors are in Iraq for one purpose only, and that is to make as much money as they can at the expense of the Iraqi people and at the expense of American taxpayers. We already know that. I mean, this isn't a harsh judgment. This is a fact. It's a reality. The contractors have to be brought home. And the jobs have to be available for the Iraqi people who then have a way of making a living while they're rebuilding their country.
My guest is Congressman Dennis Kucinich. We are talking about the issues that he's addressing as part of the new Democratic majority in the 110th Congress this week, debating the war in Iraq. But he's also introduced a bill that would propose a new department, a new cabinet-level department of peace and nonviolence. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Department of Peace. This is Politically Direct on Air America Radio. I'm David Bender. Stay with us.
Once there was this kid.
It's the Randy Rhodes Show.
Change Bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No. Just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they've got to do is go into the Sacramento Credit Union to find out how they can become a Change Bandit? Or they can log on to SacRadiothon.com? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking. As in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Good afternoon, Montana, at AM 1320 KCTC. And thank you, Angel Cardenas, just a bit ago, giving us a nice traffic update. Beat the traffic with News 10. Tonight, lows 40. We're going to see highs coming up tomorrow near 64. Friday, 69. It's going to be absolutely gorgeous. Montana, beat the traffic with News 10 at AM 1320 KCTC.
Now, Politically Direct with David Bender on Air America Radio.
Back. My guest is Congressman Dennis Kucinich. He represents Ohio's 10th Congressional District, and he is the chief sponsor of a bill. In fact, this is the second time he's introduced it. It is House Resolution 808. And, Congressman, what would H.R. 808 do?
It establishes a cabinet-level Department of Peace and Nonviolence. It recognizes that America has very serious societal problems, which are reflected in violent conduct. And the Department of Peace specifically would have a domestic component that would support community groups and educational systems on issues of domestic violence, spousal abuse, child abuse, violence in the schools, gang violence, racial violence, violence against gays, police community relations tensions. The Department of Peace would have an organized approach to assisting all groups that have programs and creating new programs so that we could teach our children principles of peer mediation, nonviolent conflict resolution. This department would work not only on a domestic level, but an international level as well.
Well, and what's fascinating about this idea is it's so basic. Doesn't this go back a long... Weren't the founding fathers discussing something like this?
Well, Benjamin Rush was talking about this a couple hundred years ago. You know, the fact of the matter is, the idea of a Department of Peace is not new. What's new is that there's a domestic component of this legislation, and the international component has been filled out to the point of where we actually see certain peacekeeping missions where peacekeepers would be involved in looking at issues of human scarcity, of lack of water, lack of food, lack of access to energy. When this was first discussed hundreds of years ago, you know, we didn't have air transportation. We didn't have the ability to move around the world and be able to intervene peacefully. What the founders were worried about was the United States becoming involved in foreign entanglements. At that time, people moved around by ship. Today, time and space have collapsed. We have the ability to communicate and to trade, and the world is interconnected and interdependent. You would think under those circumstances there would be preconditions for peace, but not so.
They were quite right in anticipating foreign entanglements and the danger of that. They saw this coming even 200 years ago. You know, it's funny, because language really defines so much who we are and what we do and how we act. And it is ironic that peacekeeping forces are often dispatched by departments of war or departments of defense. That the whole mindset of starting off that the premise is we will always be involved in some kind of hostility, that war is inevitable, is why we've had this kind of what Eisenhower famously called the military-industrial complex in perpetuity, whether we're in declared war or not. And you're changing the paradigm. You're suggesting that we should assume peace and work from there.
Well, you know, the assumption is that not only is war not inevitable, but that peace is inevitable if we're willing to create structures in our society that give people a means of building peace in homes, in communities, at work, in the larger society. And that's what this Department of Peace and Nonviolence seeks to do, working in the schools through teaching children how to deal with their feelings, teaching children how to handle it when one hits another, teaching young boys healthy attitudes about young girls so that you don't have this idea of some kind of a genetic right to strike another person or a person of the opposite sex. There needs to be, you know, this is part of a transformation in our culture. I mean, if violence is a learned response, well, so is nonviolence. If violence people pick up from the sociology of, you know, in where you grow up, you can do the same thing with nonviolence. I mean, I grew up in some pretty rough neighborhoods, and people breathe in, you know, where they grow up. And there's a lot of communities that are beset by violence, yet it isn't a situation that's intractable. We need to show that we're all capable of going beyond the violence. This idea of a Department of Peace will inevitably go right to the questions of why we have the crime that we have, why we have violent crime, looking at issues of crime and punishment. This is really an effort to create the beloved community, to create the transformation that we know America's always been capable of. As a matter of fact, it's the ongoing evolutionary nature of our nation that has caused so many people to believe that America can get past anything, no matter how difficult things are, no matter what condition we're in, that we can always surmount it and transform to create something new. And that's what the whole idea of a Department of Peace is about, except it's very practical. When you look at the levels of violence in our society, we need an organized approach to dealing with it, and that's what this department advocates. And 57 members of Congress have now signed on to the bill.
Which is terrific. And you just had a conference in Washington, D.C., where people came from, what, 45 states around the country?
Over 1,000 people lobbied over 250 members of Congress coming from 45 states. The people met at GW. I had a huge rally, Marianne Williamson, Steven Tyler, and others.
Steven Tyler of Aerosmith. Let's be clear, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith.
Yes.
And, well, it's a broad-based coalition. Joaquin Phoenix, the actor. You've got a lot of people, and a lot of people who have some visibility in the culture. And as you say, this is a cultural shift as well as a political shift.
It's coming. People are fed up with war. They're fed up with being told that we're on the eve of destruction without any efforts being made for diplomacy, for reaching out, for healing. We have such great capacities, each of us, to change the world anew every day, and we're acting as though we're locked on some kind of a glide path to destruction.
Well, I've got to ask you a question. You raised the fact that you grew up in difficult circumstances. Obviously, there's a lot of poverty in your background. You came from one of seven children. It was a difficult experience for you as a young adult. Have you changed? Do you see change in yourself? Did you go through some of those times where you wanted to strike back? You felt life wasn't fair? Were you an angry kid? Was this a learned process for you in your own life?
But let me tell you, I was so short when I was growing up. You know, if I was going to pick a fight, it would have to be with somebody who was like 4 or 5 years old when I was 10, okay? I mean, I really wasn't.
And I'm assuming you didn't do that.
Well, no, it's not that I wasn't combative in my own way, but I was really, you know, I actually tried to box in a Golden Gloves program, okay? And after a few broken noses and finding people who I'd box with were always taller than me and walking into stiff, you know, left-hand jabs in my face, I decided maybe I should try some other line of work.
Politics.
I mean, my nature might be, you know, aggressive at times, but I'm, you know, the way I grew up, I wasn't physically suited to be a brawler. I suppose, you know, if I had been physically suited, maybe I had been. A lot of people I grew up with were like that. I tried to avoid fights in the neighborhood because I always knew that my size wasn't appropriate for that. Well, but I will tell you this, that I saw a lot of fighting. I saw, you know, you'd see it in school, you'd see it on the streets, you know, you see bullies, how do you deal with that? You know, I remember it, and, you know, you see fighting that was racial in nature, you'd see fighting that, I'd see gangs at work. There's, you know, growing up in the city, you get a kind of different experience, and you learn, I'd say, to answer your question even more directly, there's a certain amount of social disorganization that occurs when you're moving so much. And, you know, that too has a way of producing conditions that can give rise to violence, the frustration that occurs in people's lives when they're just constantly on the go and constantly in poverty and not having a roof over your head. And
you lived in a car a couple times in your life.
A few times.
I mean,
that,
in other words,
before it became fashionable in America.
I'm not sure it's ever been fashionable, but having said that, that's a tough thing for a kid. And to come away, I guess what I'm saying is that you're, to some degree, living proof of the point you're making, which is that it is possible to learn behavior which is nonviolent.
Exactly. But, you know, when you're growing up like that, you don't think you're having a rough deal or anything. Only in retrospect might it look difficult. But growing up in circumstances where you see violence, though, and you're proximate to it, whether it's at home or out in the street or in school or what, you know, that can have an effect on you unless you have people who will show you where there's another way to deal with problems in life. And I've always been fortunate and having teachers and religious nuns and priests who were helpful in showing that there was another way to deal with one's feelings. But, you know, there's a lot of young people who go through the same thing all over the country, and it would be good if we had a system in place in education that helped to support efforts to try to show how you could mediate conflict, how we don't have to respond aggressively with physical aggression when someone does something we don't like. And this is really a matter of teaching. And, you know, I think we're all capable of doing that. We're all capable of growth. And so the Department of Peace is an idea which seeks to really tap our potential for growth. And it's hopeful. It's optimistic. It's practical.
Congressman Dennis Kucinich, thank you. The bill, H.R. 808, which would create a Department of Peace and Nonviolence, the organization, the Peace Alliance, has a website, thepeacealliance.org.
That's it, and our website is Kucinich.us. And I'll tell you, all over this country, people are working on this idea. It is an idea whose time has come. We're ready for it now. More and more people recognize it, and it's really a chance to change America in a way that's very positive.
Well, we thank you for joining us today to talk about it, and we'd like to have you back as this campaign moves forward, both the campaign for Department of Peace and the campaign for the Democratic nomination. Let's have you back on the show.
Thanks again. Let's talk.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. 13 deaths are now blamed on the winter storm that's brought blowing snow and ice from the Midwest to Maine. WBZ Radio's Kim Tunnicliffe has the story in Lexington, Massachusetts.
It's pretty bad out here, to tell you the truth. Very slippery.
That driver seems to sum up the feelings of most drivers in the Lexington area. A mix of snow and freezing rain falling on top of the already snow-coated highway is making travel very dangerous. This man drives a four-wheel drive truck, and even he's having problems.
It seems like the plow's on out there. It's just very icy, that's all.
So icy, in fact, that the precipitation is sticking to cars' windshields and windshield wipers, making it hard to see. That's forcing drivers to get off the highway so they can pull out the old ice scrapers. Kim Tunnicliffe, CBS News, Lexington.
Employees at Chrysler felt a chill today as the company announced a restructuring that will eliminate 13,000 jobs. Jeff Gilbert of Detroit station WWJ has details.
As one assembly plant closes and two others cut shifts, Chrysler will need fewer engines and fewer parts, so that will also impact components plants. CEO Tom Lasorda says there will be incentives to leave, but nothing like the big buyouts we saw at Ford and GM.
It will be targeted to the specific areas or regions of where
The reductions need to take place.
The Auto Workers Union calls this devastating news for workers, their families, and communities. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Auburn Hills, Michigan.
Dieter Zetsche, chairman of parent firm Daimler Chrysler, refuses to rule out a possible sale of Chrysler, which is suffering as American drivers turn away from trucks and SUVs. As the House continued its debate on the Iraq war resolution, President Bush, at a White House news conference, shrugged it off.
Can somebody say we disagree with your tactics or strategy, but we support the move? Absolutely. Sure.
The second day of the Iraq debate saw more emotional arguments and a group of Republicans joining Democrats in arguing against the troop surge. John Duncan of Tennessee says America finds itself in the middle of a religious war.
This was a very unnecessary war. It has always been more about money and power and prestige than any real threat to us or to our people.
But fellow Tennessee Republican Zach Womp was sticking to the president's line.
We must do better, but we better not retreat.
There's little doubt when the vote comes Friday, Congress will oppose the troop surge, setting the stage for a much bigger battle over the money the president wants to fight the war. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Washington.
Al Franken, former cast member of Saturday Night Live and most recently a liberal radio talk show host, confirmed today that he'll run for the U.S. Senate in his native Minnesota.
I'm going to go all around the state just like I did last year, not just because it's fun, but because it's important. It's important that we work together together on the problems we face together.
He plans to challenge Republican incumbent Norm Coleman. On Wall Street, a record, the Dow up 87 points to a new closing high of 12,741. This is CBS News.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
How can students improve their test scores? Well, there's tutoring, cramming, perhaps praying. We suggest throwing a brick at the problem. No, really. Talk to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We can turn piles of bricks into amazing schools, specially designed to inspire and motivate students and to optimize their learning and success. Talk to an AIA architect. And don't wait till the night before the test. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Is there a problem person where you work? Maybe it's you. Whoever it is, a study finds the employee who's never positive can have a negative effect on everyone. CBS's Steve Kathan reports.
A bad apple can spoil the whole bunch, says the University of Washington's William Phelps.
The negativity of one bad apple can spread throughout the group.
But he says there are ways to undo the damage.
With a concerted effort by two or three really positive individuals, you could overcome the effect of one bad apple.
Short of firing these people, Phelps says independent projects for the worker behind the trouble can make things better for everyone. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Phelps tells the story of a bad apple in his wife's office who was out sick for several days. The mood lifted. People helped each other and socialized after work. When Mr. Gloom returned, they all went back to being surly. The wind chill was 2 below this morning as more than 100 couples had a mass Valentine wedding at the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. One bride even wore open-toed sandals in the snow. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
There isn't one good reason to choose life insurance from Foresters. There's 17 million. Foresters Life Insurance Organization is proud to support Children's Miracle Network hospitals right across North America and the 17 million children they treat each year. Foresters partners with Children's Miracle Network, local children's hospitals, and radio stations to create inspiring fundraising events called Radiothons, raising millions for local hospitals, including UC Davis Children's Hospital. We know how important the work that the UC Davis Children's Hospital is to the Sacramento area. That is why Foresters is passionate about supporting the hospital and the children. Miracle Network. Because helping communities and children is what we're all about. As founding sponsor of Radiothon, we pay for all the administrative costs of the program. That means every dollar raised here stays here. When you choose a life insurance product from Foresters, you're providing security for your family and hope for millions of children. Foresters, proud sponsor of the Children's Miracle Network Radiothon. Visit foresters.biz. Foresters, life insurance is what we do. Helping children and communities is who we are.
best of EcoTalk with Betsy Rosenberg on Air America Radio.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
And welcome to the official ostrich-free zone. That would be EcoTalk, your one-stop home for all things green. And, boy, there's never a shortage of news to bring you. We like to get some of the lighter side on as well. We'll do that in our second half. If you can call water conservation lighter, at least the man who's going to be talking to us was a former comedian, so at least we'll try to take a lighter approach to water conservation. But first, we want to look at something that continues to be a very serious problem. Yesterday, Dr. Francesca Griffo, director of the Union of Concerned Scientists Scientific Integrity Program, if that name sounds familiar, she has been a guest on this program. We are pleased to have her back. Well, she has just testified before the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform on widespread suppression of federal climate science research by the upper echelons of our government. If true, then in our opinion, this interference with a public service of scientists amounts to nothing less than reckless endangerment of the public's health and welfare, not to mention the planet's. Dr. Griffo joins us to tell us how the committee and their chairman, Henry Waxman, responded. We're hoping to get Waxman on in the next day or two for you as well. In our second half, we've put a call into our neighborhood plumber. That would be Ed Del Grande. He's a former comedian and current spokesman for faucets and fixture company Kohler. Ed will tell us some quick and easy ways that we can all immediately cut down on our water use and waste. As many of you longtime listeners know, it is one of my pet peeves and the thing that got me started on this conservation track. And finally, our NRDC correspondent Daniel Heinerfeld will be with us to talk about the winners of this year's film, Your Issue Contest, whose explorations of the social issues of their choice were judged Sundance-worthy by judges such as John Cusack. Well, Flitzer and singer and actress Mandy Moore also weighed in, and Daniel will chat with both Mandy and Film Your Issue's founder about empowering young authors to express their hopes and concerns for the future. Right now, we're going to check in with Dr. Griffo to find out what is at stake in our future and what our government is doing to suppress some very important things that we should know. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Now, what we're about to discuss may sound familiar to our regular listeners, but you do have a new report out with new findings, and it's even more egregious than we thought. Give us the highlights or perhaps lowlights in this case.
Well, I think what we found was one reassuring thing, which is that, you know, the science at the climate agencies is still, not for very long, but is still in good shape. But it's not getting out. People aren't getting to know about it. Scientists are, you know, very similar to the Hansen case, are not able to communicate their findings. Very basic constitutional rights of free speech are not being allowed to, you know, to get this information out.
Give us some specific examples.
Well, I mean, there's a number of examples. We have both descriptive ones and statistics. I can tell you that nearly half of all of our respondents perceived or personally experienced pressure to eliminate the words climate change, global warming, or other similar terms from a variety of communications. And one more, 43% perceived or personally experienced changes or edits during review that changed the meaning of the scientific results. These are huge things. And we also have 150 federal climate scientists who reported personally experiencing at least one incident of political interference in the past 5 years, for a total of at least 435 total incidents.
Now, were you able to pin this on any one particular person or office or division, or is it really widespread?
No, it's actually, our survey covered seven agencies, and we found very much the same story across multiple agencies, across multiple offices within the agencies.
Mm. And what was the overall reaction from the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform to these findings?
Well, there were two reactions. I think one side was very dismayed. I mean, I think very worried and concerned that, you know, this information isn't getting out. The other side, we had to try to help them to understand that this was not a discussion of the role of science in public policy making. Rather, this was the changing and manipulation and suppression of science before it even enters that arena. So there were multiple reactions, but it was very exciting to be there, and I think we can, you know, feel grateful to our founding fathers for, you know, checks and balances and oversight.
And what of the what about the new mothers, the women who are moving up in ranks in Congress? Do you think they will have a role in really cracking down on this? And not just the women, of course, but of course I'm talking about Barbara Boxer, Nancy Pelosi, who are very active on these issues.
It's an amazing group, and I, you know, I'm all ears and looking forward to hearing what they have to say. Neither of them happened to be on this particular committee, but there were some real voices on this committee. There were several members who expressed, you know, great dismay over what was going on and really took the administration to task.
And what kind of authority and powers does this committee have, and also Henry Waxman as well, to act on this information now that you have it? What's the next step?
Well, I mean, there are many different steps that can happen. One of the things that they can do is continue to have oversight, which is, you know, the nightmare of any agency head is to be called to the Hill to testify. I mean, it's a terrible experience for them often, and that's what really can happen here. We have communicated with the heads of multiple agencies to try and start a dialogue about these issues, and I think if we don't get anywhere and nobody gets anywhere and we don't see changes, you know, the next step could be that we see those heads of the agencies up there having to answer for these things. But in addition to that, of course, there are multiple legislative issues that are out there that we will be pursuing with this committee as, you know, this Congress gets underway.
I'm going to ask you a question. I guess I'm looking for a somewhat subjective response, just your own observation. You know, two things can happen. One, you know, every time we hit a new low in terms of what, you know, is really happening with our government as it relates to science and global warming and environmental enforcement, you know, we keep hitting new lows and you kind of get, you know, a little bit numb to it, and that can happen. And it's like, well, we kind of forget what it should be as this kind of, you know, trend progresses. Or there can be growing outrage. If you could sort of give us a sense of where on the spectrum the majority of committee members are on this.
Well, I think everybody's very energized right now because, you know, we do have this possibility. I mean, what a difference an election makes in terms of the makeup of this committee, the interest of this committee in this issue. You know, this is extraordinary. This is democracy at work, and, you know, I have high hopes for what we'll be able to accomplish this year.
That's great to know. And what are your concerns going forward in terms of your work? What are you really excited about working on?
Well, I think, you know, it's become very clear to us that this is about scientific freedom, that this is about protecting the scientists who speak out when they see interference or suppression of science at these agencies. This is about the agencies affirmatively educating their employees of their rights under these statutes. I mean, just because you get a PhD and go to work for the government as a scientist doesn't mean you lose your right to free speech. And that's really what the findings of this survey show us. You know, but really, we want to see federal agencies, you know, supporting the free exchange of scientific information in all venues.
Now, there's a report out, yet another one, that President Bush has issued a directive increasing their authority over, you know, some areas like environment. Have you heard about that latest one? I mean, it sounds like more of the same, but apparently this is a new directive.
It is, and it appears, you know, what I've been hearing about it, and again, it's very recent and we haven't had a chance to delve into it deeply, but it feels like, you know, what's going on here? Well, Congress is now on the other side. They can't do this thing through the Congress. We've exposed what they're doing at the agencies, so it's sort of a new layer of bureaucracy that's being imposed that I can't see the positive side of at this point. We're very concerned, let's just put it that way.
So if he has already signed a directive giving the White House greater control over some of these matters, what, if any, you know, possibilities are there to overrule that or overturn that, or is that final?
Well, I think what's interesting about it is it comes down to an economic, a cost-benefit analysis. And I think that if we can push for the benefits to be fully accounted for, I think we'll win. Because when you look at ecosystem services, when you look at, you know, all the other things about clean air and clean energy and all the true costs, you know, and the true benefits of going that way and regulating in this way. But, of course, the question is, you know, what kind of a cost-benefit analysis will this really be?
What was your impression of the State of the Union address?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, it was very interesting that he touched on technology, he touched on science, so much of what he said really had to do with the importance of it, and yet there was no mention of unmuzzling government science, of stopping the suppression, you know, of really coming out and addressing, you know, the manipulation of government science that we've been seeing for these last several years.
Well, of course, not surprising that he wouldn't address that, because, of course, he's probably behind it. And there was a mention of climate change. You noted that, but probably not much more.
Time will tell.
Yeah, time will tell. We're just about out of time. Can you stay with us for another segment?
Yes,
find
absolutely.
A little bit more about Union of Concerned Scientists. Great work, and you must have your plate full with so many scientific findings that are of concern. But we like to bring you the positive news, what is being done, who is addressing it, and Union of Concerned Scientists is one of our wonderful partners here at EcoTalk, so we thank them for their participation in helping make this program possible. We'll be back right after these messages. Find us on the web. You can listen to any of our segments by downloading at www.ecotalk.net.
This is the best of EcoTalk on Air America Radio. AM 1320, Sacramento.
What is a miracle? A miracle described in the Webster's Dictionary is an extraordinary event manifesting itself in human affairs. You know, each and every day, miracles happen at the UC Davis Children's Hospital. And now, with your help, you can be a part of the miracle process as well. From now through February 24th, when you purchase a 9-piece miracle meal from KFC, $1 goes directly to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. Did you know that the UC Davis Children's Hospital is the region's only pediatric intensive care unit caring for over 60,000 children each and every year? That is why this year the KFC family is proud to have partnered up with the UC Davis Children's Hospital, part of the Children's Miracle Network, to help make sure miracles continue to happen. And now with the help of KFC's Miracle Meal, you can be a part of one too. So do your part and go to a participating KFC for a great meal today and help continue to make miracles happen with the KFC Miracle Meal. For more information on how you can continue to make miracles happen, log on to www.kfcmiraclemeals.com.
There isn't one good reason to choose life insurance from Foresters. There are 17 million. Foresters Life Insurance Organization is proud to support Children's Miracle Network hospitals right across North America and the 17 million children they treat each year. Foresters partners with Children's Miracle Network, local children's hospitals, and radio stations to create inspiring fundraising events called Radiothons, raising millions for local hospitals, including UC Davis Children's Hospital. We know how important the work that the UC Davis Children's Hospital is to the Sacramento area. That is why Foresters is passionate about supporting the hospital and the Children's Miracle Network. Because helping communities and children is what we're all about. As founding sponsor of Radiothon, we pay for all the administrative costs of the program. That means every dollar raised here stays here. When you choose a life insurance product from Foresters, you're providing security for your family and hope for millions of children. Foresters, proud sponsor of the Children's Miracle Network Radiothon. Visit foresters.biz. Foresters, life insurance is what we do. Helping children and communities is who we are.
Entrepreneurs, I've got your number. I know how much you put into your small business. Big dreams, big plans, and most of all, big thinking. Not your average run-of-the-mill thinking. You're all about big thinking, as in light bulb over the head, eureka screaming, think I'll open my own small business kind of thinking. The kind of thinking shown when you sign your company up for the budget business program from Budget Rent-A-Car. Now, I know what your knowledge-hungry mind is saying. Sounds interesting. Please tell me more. Will do. The Budget Business Program offers exclusive discounts and rebates to small businesses just like yours, including $2 back on every qualifying rental day. $2 back every day. You're the genius. Add it up. So, if you're a small business, visit budget.com/business and sign up for the Budget Business Program. Big thinking for small business.
Program subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. See budget.com/business for details.
Rent budget and rent like a genius.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and we are speaking with Dr. Francesca Griffo. She is the director of the Scientific Integrity Program with the Union of Concerned Scientists. Yesterday, she testified before the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform about widespread suppression of federal climate science research by the upper echelons of our own federal government. When we went to break, we were talking about some of the issues that are being suppressed. Let's move on to look at the Government Accountability Report. That was another piece of this that we haven't touched on.
Yes, our partners in this release, I mean, we did the survey, which gave us some really interesting information, but our partners were the Government Accountability Project, and what they did was they started with nearly 200 scientists that they tried to interview. And I think this is incredibly telling because they managed to get 40 who were able and willing to talk to them, and then really only a handful on record. So I think this really talks to us about the chilling, you know, effect, I mean, the atmosphere and the fear that scientists have. The other thing that we've done is, you know I've been on and we've talked about a number of different surveys, but we now have one compilation number from across these surveys, which I think is really frightening, and that is that 699 scientists, that would be 39% of our respondents across 9 agencies, have now reported that they fear retaliation for openly expressing their concerns about the mission-driven work of their agencies. And really, the Government Accountability Project, what they did, Tarek Masrani interviewed all of these scientists and several public affairs officers to really talk about this issue.
Are these primarily scientists at the EPA?
No. He talked to scientists at predominantly NASA and NOAA. And the other thing I should say that he did, which was to file Freedom of Information Act requests. And in response to these very general requests about, climate and climate change and communications about climate change and, you know, very, very broad categories, from NOAA, to their credit, he received 2,000 pages of documents in return that they combed through. From NASA, he received 9 documents, and from the Environmental Protection Agency, he received 0 pages, nothing.
That's revealing. You'd think at NASA, the scientists might be more feeling more bold or empowered by Dr. Jim Hansen, who has been very outspoken and so far is still in his position. I'd like to see them try to fire him. But has that made any difference, do you think? Positively or maybe negatively?
Scientist who testified today for us, Dr. Drew Schindel, is actually a close associate of Jim Hansen. So it made a difference, I think, that Dr. Schindel could come as a private citizen to be a part of the hearing that took place on the Hill.
So is it possible that what's happened to Dr. Hansen, where they kind of tried to muzzle him for a while but have failed once that was exposed, might that, you know, do you think that would have a chilling effect or sort of an emboldening effect? Or
well, I think,
both?
You know, Michael Griffiths, who was the, you know, the head of NASA, came out and very rightly, you know, came out with a model media or a media policy for NASA, which was a first step, I mean, an important first step, and we commend him for that. But there are several things that are missing from that media policy, and we are now working hard. The report that we released, which you can find on our website, www.ucsusa.org, has this our model media policy attached as an appendix. And I think when you look in there, you'll see that there are several things that NASA has not done. And the most important of these is to really be certain that whatever restrictions are put on scientists and their communication, that their constitutional rights are protected and that they are compliant with several other statutes that protect the rights of federal employees and scientists and so on to speak out.
And regardless of how some have been, sort of intimidated to not speak out, which is horrendous enough, believe me, I'm not downplaying the importance of that and implications of that. But really, we know what we know now about climate change. We know it's a serious threat. We know it's here. We know that we have to move quickly. So how can all of us move into solutions from the top down, or at least what are you doing with your reach to try to make sure that we stop debating, stop talking, and really tell people what we must do to act quickly?
Well, I think what's really important is that the voices of these scientists are part of the debate, whether that be the debate with the public or the debate that's with the policymakers. And that's been a huge issue here, that these scientists have not been able to speak out, have not been able to publish, have not been able to, control the kinds of interviews that they had. I mean, when Gap did their research and talked to these various scientists, they found six categories of things that were going on that were preventing these scientists from speaking out. Long releases in press release. Long delays in the release of press releases. Months and months and months. Minders on calls. And more than that, minders who required Q&As ahead of time so that the scientists would have to basically say everything that they were going to say ahead of time. Another thing that has a fairly chilling effect. The pre-approval for interviews, the rerouting of interviews. In other words, if an interview came in to a scientist and his points of view were not in sync with the administration, those interviews would be rerouted to a scientist whose views were more consistent with the views of the administration. And the real end result of this was overall decreased media contact. So in other words, Americans who need to know what's going on so that they can think about constructive solutions so that we can prepare for this and, react to it, were not getting the information they needed because these scientists were suppressed.
You mentioned Gap. You were referring to the Government Accountability Project, not the company Gap, of course.
No,
and
of course not.
There was a recent research came out that showed that 13% of Americans had never even heard of global warming. Does that surprise you?
Oh, nothing surprises me. No, it doesn't surprise me. I think, people are very busy. People are juggling multiple responsibilities, multiple things. I think what really has to happen is that, we are just so much more vocal about this kind of thing, that there are many, many different sectors of the audience that we just haven't succeeded in reaching.
And must do that right away, and that's what we're trying to do here at EcoTalk, and thank you for your part in this effort, Dr. Francesca Griffo. Thanks for joining us, Director of the Scientific Integrity Program with UCS, Union of Concerned Scientists. We'll come back right after the news break, and we'll talk about how you can stop that drip, drip, drip from your faucet and why you should be concerned.
You're listening to the best of EcoTalk on Air America.
Stop mad cowboy disease.
Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. $40 a month, all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8. Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
I want, and there's no contract. If you live, work, and play in Northern California, get permission to speak freely to Metro PCS. Tell them Kevin sent you.
Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance coverage in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
What is a miracle? A miracle described in the Webster's Dictionary is an extraordinary event manifesting itself in human affairs. You know, each and every day, miracles happen at the UC Davis Children's Hospital. And now, with your help, you can be a part of the miracle process as well. From now through February 24th, when you purchase a 9-piece miracle meal from KFC, $1 goes directly to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. Did you know that the UC Davis Children's Hospital is the region's only pediatric intensive care unit caring for over 60,000 children each and every year? That is why this year the KFC family is proud to have partnered up with the UC Davis Children's Hospital, part of the Children's Miracle Network, to help make sure miracles continue to happen. And now with the help of KFC's Miracle Meal, you can be a part of one too. So do your part and go to a participating KFC for a great meal today and help continue to make miracles happen with the KFC Miracle Meal. For more information on how you can continue to make miracles happen, log on to www.kfcmiraclemeals.com.
There isn't one good reason to choose life insurance from Foresters. There's 17 million. Foresters Life Insurance Organization is proud to support Children's Miracle Network hospitals right across North America and the 17 million children they treat each year. Foresters partners with Children's Miracle Network, local children's hospitals, and radio stations to create inspiring fundraising events called Radiothons, raising millions for local hospitals, including UC Davis Children's Hospital. We know how important the work that the UC Davis Children's Hospital is to the Sacramento area. That is why Foresters is passionate about supporting the hospital and the children's Miracle Network. Because helping communities and children is what we're all about. As founding sponsor of Radiothon, we pay for all the administrative costs of the program. That means every dollar raised here stays here. When you choose a life insurance product from Foresters, you're providing security for your family and hope for millions of children. Foresters, proud sponsor of the Children's Miracle Network Radiothon. Visit foresters.biz. Foresters, life insurance is what we do. Helping children and communities is who we are.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Welcome back to Eco Talk. I'm Betsy Rosenberg. Pleased to introduce our next guest. He is a 3-time master plumber. We'll have to find out what that means. Ed Del Grande, with 25 years of plumbing under his belt, he has a lot of hands-on experience with helping folks conserve water usage. As a spokesman for Kohler, this former comedian can give us the dirt on how to cut our water bills way down. Welcome to the program.
Betsy, it's my pleasure to be here on EcoTalk.
Well, let's start. 3-time master plumber, what would that be?
Well, I was born and raised by plumbers, so I've been in plumbing my whole life, and usually most plumbers have one master license, but since I've been in the business a long time and I was raised to go through the licensing process, I have 3 master licenses, one in plumbing, one in pipe fitting, and the other in fire sprinkler protection. So I really have 3 master plumbing licenses, and it makes it a lot easier just to call myself a triple master.
So does mean you were in the field and then quit and then went back, quit and went back and quit again? No.
Fortunately, I should say, I've been trapped in plumbing my whole life. I've never quit. It's just been something that I was born into, and I've stayed with all my 48 years.
You did a stint with comedy. Tell us some about that transition.
Yeah,
comedian.
Well, being a plumber, you know, spending a lot of time in bathrooms, you're all alone, so you don't meet a lot of people. So I was looking for a part-time job at night after work that I could meet everybody. And I always liked talking to the customers and telling them jokes. And it went into the comedy circuit. It just kind of took a life on its own. So for a while, for 10 years, I had two full-time jobs, one doing the plumbing during the day, and then at night being a stand-up comedian. So I've had a very interesting time.
As well as your own show, Ed the Plumber?
Yep, Ed the Plumber. That's on the DIY, the Do-It-Yourself Network, and that's on Saturday and Sunday mornings. And I'm right here. I'm actually speaking from the HGTV Pro Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, where I'm filming HGTV Pro Weekly, which is on Home and Garden Television on Saturdays at 6:30 a.m.
This is the other HGTV show, Living with Ed, or Life with Ed. Ed Begley was a guest a couple of weeks ago.
He is a very nice man, and I hear the show is doing great.
It's really funny. And he talks about a lot of ways to conserve energy. Your focus is water conservation. Let's turn a little bit serious here and tell us how we can do a whole lot better. Apparently, 60% of total water use in the home is attributed to indoor plumbing fixtures such as toilet, shower heads, and faucets, but we are wasting a lot of that use unnecessary.
Well, let's start from the top. The number one water guzzling fixture in the homes is the toilets. So that's what we're working on here with Cola, trying to get these toilets to use less and less water. But the important thing, Betsy, everybody wants that big, strong flush. So we're delivering toilet technologies that give the strong flushes, but in some cases we're only using 1.1 gallons of water per flush. So we're getting toilets now that deliver strong flushes, but are a half gallon below even what the government mandates.
So these are low flow
toilets. So what they are, it's a performance-driven toilets, and this toilet technology does deliver strong flushes, and that's what we have to educate everybody on, that you can have the best of both worlds. You can have your big, strong flush, but you can also cut down the water use. And if you go from, let's say, a 1.6 toilet, which is the current mandate, down to a 1.1, you could save 6,000 to 8,000 gallons of water per household a year. So this, you're right, this is serious business.
Okay, and give us the poop on how many Americans have low-flow toilets, roughly.
Well, what we're trying to do is educate everybody. If you don't have the low-flow toilets, if you're still using the old toilets, make sure you upgrade now. And why a lot of people were hanging on to their old toilets was not because of wild nights out on the town. They were hanging on to their toilets because they didn't want to give up the strong flush. So my job is to educate everybody in the country. We got the powerful flushes, and I could tell you a little bit about the flushing technologies that deliver strong flushes with only 1.1 gallons of water.
Is that the dual flush?
Well, we have the dual flush. That's one way.
That's brilliant. I love that concept.
The dual flush is a great toilet because it has two types of flushing. I like to say it has two buttons, and the number one button is for number one, and the number two button is for number two.
They made that real easy.
Yes. And if you hit, let's say, the number two button, you will get the full 1.6 gallon flush. But a lot of times, you know, you don't need all that water. If it's just, a little bit of liquids that have to be flushed, you could hit the number one button, and it only flushes with 9/10 of a gallon, and that feature saves 4,000 to 6,000 gallons of water a year. So that way, you're not even giving anything up as far as water usage, is as far as per flush. But when you put that out of the feature where you have that second option with the little flush, you'll now pick up that 4,000 to 6,000 gallons a year.
Are some people proponents of putting urinals in homes to conserve water? What do you think of that?
Big thing coming in is home urinals. With the dual flush toilets, you don't really have to switch over because you will have that option for the lower flush. But the thing that's coming in now is we're trying to beat that even by a long shot. We want to get waterless urinals in the homes. Think about this. If you can have a waterless urinal that uses no water at all, you can't get any more water saving than that because it's a waterless fixture. And in a commercial setting, a waterless urinal will save 40,000 gallons of water per urinal a year.
Okay, without getting too graphic, can you tell us how that would work?
Yeah, the waterless urinal is really, it's a great design. First of all, it's designed to work with no water, so there's no splashing and there's nothing that will stay stagnant into that small bowl. But the big secret is it has a special eco-friendly fluid in the trap, where liquids like water or urine will pass through this fluid and go down the drain, and the fluid that's in the trap actually stays floating on top, and that's a nice scent, and it also
keeps the sewer gases out from the house, so it really plugs everything up as far as odors go, but it lets all the urine pass through it. So you're not using any water at all.
Okay, before we gross everyone out, let's move to dishwashers.
Okay.
How much energy do they use compared to hand washing our dishes, say?
Well, actually, the dishwashers in many cases can use less. They got a lot of very, very, let's say, water-conscious dishwashers out on the market now. If you're washing by hand, don't forget, every time you turn away from that sink, that faucet's running. So you may want to use some of these eco-friendly dishwashers to save a little bit of water.
What, are you from New York by any chance?
Yeah, New York and the Boston area. I'm a New England boy.
You sure you're not one of the car talk guys? You kind of potty talk.
A lot of people say we sound alike, and we are kind of from the same area. A
similar sense of humor.
Yeah.
Have you ever been seen in the same place?
No, we haven't. So, and right now I can't be seen, so maybe I am one of the car talk guys.
Okay, so tell us now about your green dream for water consumption. What would you like to see more Americans doing?
My number one thing is let everybody switch to these water-saving toilets. I mean, there's a toilet right now. It's called a Highline. It uses only 1.1 gallons of water. I mean, that's incredible. That's a half gallon less than what the government mandates already. And how it works, Betsy, is it actually traps air in a closed chamber. So as this chamber is filling up with water, unlike a regular toilet where it sits in it like an aquarium, it actually pressurizes a layer of air on top of the water. So when you flush it, gravity pulls, but that little pocket of compressed air shoots the water down the drain, and you get a flush that you can't believe with only 1.1 gallons of water.
What about low-flow shower heads?
Low-flow shower heads are also another great idea. Now, remember, you can only use 2.5 gallons maximum per shower head. That's another government mandate. So a lot of people were afraid their strong showers would be taken away. But with these performance shower heads coming on the market now, it's almost like a jet-type engine where they inject air into the flow, so you do get the feel of a strong, vibrant shower, but you're only using that 2.5 gallons of water a minute.
This is more of an energy issue, but do you have any opinions on, since you seem to have some strong opinions, which we like here, on hot water heaters, the tankless hot water heaters?
Well, now here's where you got to look at. A tankless versus a water heater that has a regular conventional storage tank, this is going to come down to a personal choice. Now, in most cases, when you use a tankless water heater, remember that water heater has to be restricting the water going through it so it has time to heat the water. So with a lot of these tankless water heaters, you can only use one fixture at a time, because if you try to use two, that now takes too much of a draw off that unit. So I like to use the tankless water heaters in places like vacation homes, or if you only have one or two people living in the home, because that way there, when you're not using the water, which is most of the day with the small amount of people living in the home, you're not wasting that water being heated up all the time. But if you have a very big load, or, you know, big families that are using the water all the time, you might want to go with the tank, because that way you can wash dishes, take a shower, and use your sink at the same time.
Okay, let's head out of the bathroom and into the backyard. What about sprinklers and, you know, watering lawns, that kind of thing? Is there a lot of water being wasted still, even though we like to think we're more conservation conscious in this country?
Well, everybody has to make a choice. Now, if you are watering your lawn, you are going to use water, so there's no two ways about it. I mean, if you really want to make a conscious effort to save as much water as possible, well, maybe put out some crushed stones or wood chips, you know, so you don't have to water as much. One thing that homeowners can do to save on their water and sewer bills is they put in what's called an abatement water meter. Now, Betsy, I'm sure you're aware that a lot of the sewer taxes are based on your water use. So if you could prove that you have a dedicated faucet that's used for outdoor watering or filling swimming pools, well, you put a meter on that separate faucet going outside, and now most utilities will deduct that amount of water from your sewer bill because you're proven that it hasn't been going down your drains. So for homeowners, they can save a little water and save a little bit on their sewer bill by having these separate abatement meters outside.
Okay, and what's next in water conservation? Any great new gadgets coming out that are really going to help?
Well, we just hit one that's going to take the industry by storm, and that's the waterless urinal. Once people realize that they'll be saving 40,000 gallons of water per urinal per year in a commercial setting, you're going to see more and more of these waterless urinals in airports, in malls, because that's the only way we have to turn. I mean, if you could save that much water and the fixture will still do its job, I mean, that's a win-win for everybody.
Not women.
Well, yes, think about it. If we could save save 40,000 gallons of water per urinal per year.
More for us.
That's going to help everybody across the board.
Then we women can take longer showers. I see.
Yes, they can. So
spend more time on our hair. Keep our conditioner in an extra minute or two.
Yeah.
We want to thank you for joining us. It has been fun chatting with you, Ed Del Grande. He's a water conservation nut. I like conservation nuts a lot. And we'll tune into your show. Once again, it's on Do-It-Yourself Network, right?
Ed, yep, Do-It-Yourself Network and Home and Garden Television Pro.
Okay, when we get back from the commercial break, NRDC's Daniel Heinerfeld will be talking about one last dispatch from Sundance.
The best of EcoTalk on Air America Radio.
That unfamiliar sound.
Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
Nothing pumps me up more than when fans tell me I love the game.
Number 23, Kevin Martin.
This is Kevin Martin from the Sacramento Kings. Metro PCS loves the Kings, and I'm a fan of Metro PCS.
For just $45 a month, I can talk and text all I want, and there's no contract. If you live, work, and play in Northern California, get permission to speak freely with Metro PCS. Tell them Kevin sent you.
Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance coverage in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
We're back. This is Eco Talk, where we green the red and blue states one show at a time. And among the things we talk about is what's happening to green up our culture. We've been giving you some reports from the Sundance Film Festival, where there was definitely a green thread, if not a green theme, this year. And among the films that were screened in Park City during that festival this year were five winners among 350 entries in the Film Your Issue competition. FYI, as it's known, is not officially part of Sundance. It's an independent competition that encourages young people to make short movies about any issue that is of importance to them. The winners get a lot of exposure, and one lucky filmmaker wins a production internship at a major Hollywood studio. For the upcoming competition, one of FYI's sponsors is our partner, Natural Resources Defense Council, and as part of that partnership, Daniel Heinerfeld reports on this creative initiative to engage young people around the world in contemporary issues.
The founder of Film Your Issue is a charismatic journalist and entrepreneur named Heathcliff Rothman.
It started before the last election. It was 2003. A friend had recommended that we make films to get young people to vote. And my proclivity, as it always is to turn it around and to say, you know, let them make their own films. And then from there it was, well, why not have them make films on all issues that matter to them?
The first Film Your Issue contest was a success, but Rothman says it wasn't until the second round that things exploded. That was partly because of buy-in from such luminaries as George Clooney, Walter Cronkite, and the Dalai Lama, who encouraged young filmmakers to participate. Again, Heathcliff Rothman.
We broke the record for public voting on MSNBC. We had a half a billion impressions throughout the campaign in all media, and the films were really spectacular.
One of those films, Thumbs Down to Pity, was made by Benjamin Snow, a 19-year-old from Woodland Park, Colorado, with cerebral palsy.
And the film was so personal and such a resounding demand to Hollywood to stop stereotyping and turning handicapped people into pitiable characters that, you know, you just stop and watch it and say, wow.
I have a disability and my life is nothing like the Hollywood stereotype.
On my shoes,
I use Velcro instead of shoelaces. I've earned 2 karate belts. And I can handle myself.
Hey, yeah!
I pay my own bills with my debit card, and I write for my college newspaper. For the way most people with disabilities are played on screen, on a scale of 1 to 10, Hollywood gets a 0.
Thumbs Down to Pity was voted one of FYI's top 5 entries this year, and filmmaker Benjamin Snow came to Sundance for the screening and celebration. So did Tim Layton, a 22-year-old from Virginia whose film Orphans in Africa won him an internship at Disney.
Now I go to school. I get everything to eat. I thank God because of that.
This year's Film Your Issue contest has a new group of VIP judges. They include Wolf Blitzer, John Cusack, Judy Woodruff, Kevin Bacon, Brian Williams, and a new supporter of the NRDC, actress and singer Mandy Moore.
I'm 22 years old, and I sort of feel like obligated and feel a responsibility to educate myself as best I can and figure out what I can do to make a contribution, what I can do to help. I mean, I drive a Prius. I have a car that runs on soybean oil as well, that I had the engine converted to run on biodiesel and soybean oil. And I'm just sort of starting to make simple changes in my life that I know will make a big difference.
Mandy Moore was at Sundance for the premiere of her new film, Dedication. In a quiet room above the crowded Film Your Issue party, she had a message for young filmmakers and activists.
I would encourage everyone to participate in FYI and, you know, pour your passion and your creativity into figuring out what we can do and what your issue is. And I'm excited, especially coming from getting to know the NRDC and figuring out how I can help with them. I'm definitely behind the environmental side of things, so I like that young people are, you know, going to be the new face of environmental activism.
In addition to the NRDC, this year's Film Your Issue contest is sponsored by the United Nations and the Humane Society. Media partners include Yahoo, Starz, and USA Today. FYI founder Heathcliff Rothman says the contest is a great platform.
It's a really powerful way to get your issue seen and heard, because all films, actually, after we vet them for copyright issues, are posted on Yahoo Jump Cut, which up until the April 15th deadline is going to be seen by everybody who visits the site to look at the film. So it's a really potent platform, and beyond that, there's the element of winning and the prizes and the glory and the excitement and, you know, and all the rest. So go for it.
The deadline for film submissions is April 15. For the official rules and a lot of resources, including B-roll that filmmakers can download and incorporate into their movies, visit filmyourissue.com. For EcoTalk and NRDC, this is Daniel Heinerfeld in Los Angeles.
And thank you, Daniel. And time now for one of our tips from our friends at Nerdy Books, Just the Facts Man on the Environment. Get this, your hose is not a broom. Have you ever used it as a broom? You know, kind of just mindlessly washing all that water down the driveway, down the gutter. Well, you should remember that you're using a lot of water, and who knows what that water is carrying as it goes down the storm drains. You should sweep your driveway, sidewalks, and steps with a broom instead of a hose whenever you can. Rinsing with a hose uses about 50 gallons every 5 minutes. Hosing down can also send dirt and debris straight into the stormwater system, polluting our waterways. That tip number 144. From Just the Facts Man on the Environment. Well, Just the Facts on the Environment is what we try to bring you each and every day here on EcoTalk. We want to take a moment to thank you, our loyal listeners, for your letters, your notes of encouragement, and yes, those checks you have sent. I'm happy to report that we have now raised enough money with our little mini fundraiser to stay on the air for another 2 weeks. It's not forever, but it is encouraging, and we really appreciate your thoughtful comments about what this program means to you. If you'd like to share yours, since we don't have call-in capability yet, but that's one of the things we're hoping to implement into this program as we hopefully grow. Send us an email. You can do it directly right to me, Betsy, B-E-T-S-Y, at ecotalk.net, and tell us why you enjoy EcoTalk, why you think it's important, why you feel it should continue. There are new owners that reportedly are going to be taking over Air America Radio soon, and we hope to talk to them about keeping EcoTalk on as a major part of their daily programming. We might get pushed to weekends. We're hoping not. If you think that our embattled environment deserves at least 1 hour a day with all the other programming out there on all the other stations, this is still, you might be happy to hear or maybe not, this is still the only nationally syndicated daily green radio program out there bringing you news and views that do make a difference in our daily lives. So we think 1 hour out of 24 is not too much, and we hope you agree. Let us know. Let Air America know. We are in transition here as they are in transition, and nothing is certain except that our environment needs our attention, all of us, and that EcoTalk does too. It's a limited resource. We hope you feel is worth preserving.
Metro PCS presents more scenes from other wireless stores.
How's 1,000 free minutes sound?
Wow, are they anytime minutes?
Well, they're anytime minutes.
That's what I said.
You said anytime minutes.